Carson Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon, 29th of December, 2025. We've been away for a while, and it's been a very eventful week. Hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas. Here we're in this holiday dead zone between Christmas and New Year's. But there's a lot going on and a lot to cover. We've got big meetings in America from Zelensky and Netanyahu. We've got the Candace Owens saga that we can dip our toes into if we feel so compelled. And we'll be joined in the third hour by Casey Putch. He is running against Vivek Ramaswamy for the governorship of Ohio and has been making some very big waves and is really doing damage to the Vivek Ramaswamy establishment Republican campaign there. So we got a lot to get into and very, very big interview in the third hour. Let's get into it as we do every day with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch. For Monday, the 29th of December, 2025, Volodymyr Zelensky and Trump met at Mar-a-Lago, and they say they're closer than ever to reaching a peace deal. Upon greeting Zelensky at the entrance of the club, Trump projected optimism, telling reporters that the sides have the makings of a deal to end the war. After the meeting, Zelensky and Trump held a joint press conference that said progress was made on the 20-point peace proposal backed by the Ukrainian leader, but both noted more work was needed to end the conflict. Now, Russia has been pretty much winning consistently over the last little while. I believe they seized something like 30 Ukrainian settlements just in the month of December. So they're very much on the march. Now, Zelensky tried to assassinate Putin today by sending a bunch of drones to blow up his house. Of course, he's denied that, but it's pretty clear that they're not winning the war. So now they're trying to assassinate the enemy's leader, hoping that that will set things right. It won't. So, again, just can't wait to end that multi-billion dollar, many millions of death, complete cluster F. Meanwhile, Trump says the U.S. struck a big facility in their campaign against Venezuela. President Trump said in a radio interview that the United States had knocked out, quote, a big facility last week as part of his administration's campaign against Venezuela, an apparent reference to an American attack on a drug trafficking site. American officials said that Mr. Trump is referring to a drug facility in Venezuela and that it was eliminated but provided no details. Military officials said they had no information to share and the CIA declined to comment. The House also declined to comment. Okay, great. So that would be a pretty significant escalation in the war against Venezuela, going from the gunboat diplomacy of bombing accused drug runners to bombing Venezuela itself and accused drug operations there. Meanwhile, MAGA World zeroes in on Minnesota, Tim Walz, Ilhan Omar over fraud scandal. That's the way The Hill is putting it. And that is the, you know, general stance from people that don't want you looking into this. It's, oh, MAGA and Trump's allies have set sights on Venezuela in the wake of a fraud scandal in the state. Well, no, MAGA uncovered the fraud scandal, are investigating the fraud scandal and revealing that we are just barely scratching the surface on the true size, scope, scale, and just true lawlessness of the fraud scandal. So, yes, we're uncovering it, we're exploring it, and it's unraveling into not just the truly unimaginable amounts of fraud that are being uncovered, but also the very deliberate, like, political network that has been fostered and created by this fraud, that is funded by this fraud, and that is working overtime to conceal the fraud. We'll get back into that. Meanwhile, Trump has met with Netanyahu amid the Gaza peace plan discussions. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is here once again in America to shake down Donald Trump and the American people. And they are live right now doing a press conference. We'll go to that on the other side of a short commercial break. But they are, you know, it's Groundhog's Day. It's the same thing over and 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 over forever. Yes, they're talking about Iranian nuclear capabilities. Although, as we've reported a week ago, the whole nuclear facility thing, it doesn't quite have the same oomph it once did. It sort of reeks of weapons of mass destruction. If the, you know, nuclear facility really is such a big deal, then what was the whole operation last year? But it's all sort of messy. So now they're moving to ballistic missiles, and Trump has responded to that, you know, guaranteeing that we would once again go to war in the Middle East for Israel, because everything we do is for Israel. Israel forever. All hail Israel. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. Remember, today is the last day, or rather, this ends tomorrow. The buy one, get one free select supplements. It's BOGO Sups. You know it well. But it's BOGO Sups Plus. It's buy one, get one free supplements, but even better than normal, because it's not just buy a supplement, get the same supplement free, or buy a supplement and get a cheaper supplement free. You know, you can buy the cheaper supplement and get the more expensive supplement free. So then today's your last day to do that. The sale ends tomorrow. Go today to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. I don't know what the schedule is exactly, but I'm not the only one, I'm sure, that's noticed this. It seems like for the last, I don't know, 4 years, 3 years or so, I guess we'll start with the beginning of the Ukraine war in earnest. There are three flashpoints for World War III, and it's, of course, Iran and Israel, Ukraine and Russia, China and Taiwan. And it seems like every time there's a flare-up in one of these, there's a flare-up in all three of these. And it's pretty constant. And I don't know what schedule they're going on. I guess I should go back, check my notes. Is it every 6 months? Is it every 3 months? It feels like they have some sort of schedule. Because it's uncanny that at the same time that Zelensky is here in D.C. or here in America and Florida meeting with Trump in Mar-a-Lago to finalize the Ukraine-Russia peace deal, and they're trying to assassinate Putin. At the same time, Netanyahu is coming to America, as we know, as has been explained by the Israeli media themselves, to try to get Trump to agree to yet another attack on Iran. And at the same time that these things are happening, Taiwan armed forces on high alert as China encircles World War III hotspot island and launches massive live fire drills. So again, I don't know what collaboration is going on at the highest levels, but it seems like every couple of months or so, all of the sudden and in perfect orchestration, all three of these World War III hotspots suddenly become massively more dangerous and more immediate and intense. And then it sort of fades away. And then we talk about other stuff. And then all of a sudden, all three spots flare up again at exactly the same time. I don't know why exactly that is, but obviously the drive for World War III is not slowed down in the slightest. And the powers that be who are depending on World War III to finish the job of eliminating once and for all, not just the people of Western Europe, but the ideas of freedom and individuality and, you know, not being coerced or threatened by the state. Those ideas will die with them and it will all, you know, be consumed in a big blaze of glory after which they can rule over the ashes forever as, you know, humanoid gods uploaded to a machine. It's all disgusting and sick, but that's obviously the plan and they're still pushing for it with everything they've got, even though the people of the world have largely woken up to this scheme and are dead set against it. So as we explained a week ago when Netanyahu first announced he would be coming to the U.S., Israel is changing its tactic. Its ultimate goal has not changed in the slightest. Its efforts in the direction of greater Israel haven't slowed down at all. Now, Trump is both their greatest servant and bitterest enemy. And I know people have a hard time believing that, but it might be because you haven't really been paying that close of attention. People think that Trump is just wholly on Israel's side and does everything they want. And that is certainly the impression that comes across when you hear Trump talk about or with Netanyahu or rub each other's backs or whatever else they get up to. Clearly, that is the image that comes across. But if you're paying attention, you know that like what Trump did with Iran was not really what Israel wanted, was not satisfying to them. I don't think Israel wanted Trump smacking them around when it came to Qatar and forcing Benjamin Netanyahu to make a apology call to the Qatari president and then placing Qatar under our, you know, protective umbrella, preventing Israel action there in the future. Like, Israel doesn't want that. They don't want these things. They didn't want Gaza to be, you know, declared a ceasefire. They wanted to eradicate everybody living there. So Trump is not doing everything that they want. He is foiling them in certain regards. However, obviously, the control still exists, and it's still there, and it's still infuriating and constant. We're constantly reminded of this. So I understand Trump and Netanyahu are still live. I have some videos from before their meeting. Now they've had the meeting, and they're doing a press conference. So let's go live to this press conference now, and we'll comment on it and show you what else has been said today. But here's Benjamin Netanyahu and President of the United States, Donald Trump, speaking live from Mar-a-Lago. Let's watch.
We did to Iran, just to make the subject just slightly different, you wouldn't have peace in the Middle East. You wouldn't have a deal signed in the Middle East. You wouldn't have a deal because other Arab nations, which are great, great, great people. I know them very well. I know them all. They're great people. They wouldn't be able to have agreed to peace in the Middle East because you would have had a dark cloud hanging over everything. It wouldn't have been possible. So Iran has been greatly reduced in power, prestige. I don't want to use the word humiliation because, you know, they're trying to build up again. But we can't let them build up because if they build up, there can't be peace in the Middle East. It was a mistake. You know, when they wiped out Iraq, Iraq and Iran were about the same power. And they fought each other with different names for 1,000 years. And then our country came out and blew up one of those two countries, namely Iraq. And all of a sudden, Iran had the whole Middle East all to itself. But that's not true anymore. That's not true anymore.
Tell us something about your plan to expand the Abraham Accords.
If you can tell us something
about your plan to expand the Abraham Accords.
Well, the Abraham Accords are a great achievement of Jared and everybody. I mean, it was one of the great achievements. They'll be expanded. Countries are already talking about expanding it, and they'll be expanded fairly quickly. Yeah, please.
Is it still on the table, the normalization?
Saudi Arabia is great. We have a great leader and a friend of mine and a friend of a lot of people, also an enemy of some people. But those people aren't doing so well. No, Saudi Arabia has been very good, as far as I'm concerned. They've done everything that we can ask for.
But normalization with Israel is on the
table? They're getting along great with Israel. They will. And at some point, they'll sign the Abraham Accords.
Mr. President, we know. So one of the big domestic tasks ahead of you is to pick a new chairman for the Fed.
Yeah.
You've said that you have one favorite, but you're also doing interviews.
Still do. Hasn't changed. Yeah, I'll announce them at the right time. There's plenty of time.
But
in the meantime, we're doing numbers that nobody's ever seen. We have $18 trillion coming in. We had a 4.3% GDP. They thought it was going to be 2%. And that's despite the Democrat shutdown. Had the shutdown not occurred, we would have had an extra point and a quarter. Think of that. We are doing, and also despite the fact that we have a fool at the Federal Reserve. I mean, Biden reappointed him. It's too bad. You would have thought he wouldn't have done that. But he's an absolute fool who's building a new Federal Reserve, or he's doing a renovation of a building. Maybe he's up to $4.1 billion to do a renovation of a few very small buildings. It's the highest price in the history of construction. He's spending more money than any building has ever spent per square foot on the renovation of, as an example, I'm doing a magnificent, big, beautiful ballroom that the country has wanted, the White House has wanted for 150 years. It's a massive job, and it's a tiny fraction of that number.
All right, and we're under budget. Again, if the crew can listen in to this, and we can pipe back in if he actually starts talking about Iran and Israel again, since that is clearly the reason for Netanyahu's visit. Try to pressure that again. And as we mentioned last week, they are having to change their tactic from expressing very, very sincere and legitimate concern about the immediate completion of the Iranian nuclear bomb to, okay, well, that doesn't really work anymore. I mean, Trump is saying, well, if they start to build back up, we'll have to hit them again. It's like, then what was the point of hitting them the first time? Like, what? So we're just going to, every 6 months, we're just going to bomb Iran's nuclear facilities. They're just going to let us do that. Like, it just kind of doesn't make any sense. But basically, Israel is saying, the whole Iran nuclear specter, it's very useful for like scaring Americans. Hey, these people chant death to America and they could potentially have a bomb. Isn't that scary? Doesn't that qualify? Doesn't that justify military action? It just didn't really work. It just didn't really have the oomph it used to, because we've fallen for this multiple times and we're not falling for it anymore. So now they're moving over to the ballistic missiles. Now, we've explained forever, like, you can't shut down Iran's ballistic missile production. That doesn't even makes sense. They have literally giant underground cities of ballistic missiles. How are you going to tell a country? Like, nuclear weapons, I sort of get it. There's something extra crazy, right? Especially with the threat of miniaturized nukes. You don't want a rogue country having nuclear weapons and able to, smuggle them into American cities in a briefcase, a bomb that could take out several city blocks. Like, that's a real danger over, above, and beyond your average just, non-nuclear munitions. But now they're going after the non-nuclear munitions. Now they're telling Iran they have to stop producing missiles. How is that? What type of demand is that? So you're essentially saying surrender rather than go to war. Like, just be defeated rather than fight. It's like, that's not. No, they have these ballistic missiles. They still have them. Are they saying something about Israel and Iran here? Or are they just leaving? Trump says U.S. would back strikes against Iran's missile program. So Trump's going along with it. Right? Well, we have to go after Iran. Nuclear weapons, after all. We got to stop the nukes. Okay, we did it. We stopped the nukes. Mission accomplished. 6 months later, we're going back. We got to do it again. Now it's the missiles that are the real problem. And it's just like, When are we just going to stop doing the bidding of this little country? Like, when are we just going to, like, go fight your own wars? Go be destroyed by Iran ballistic missiles. We don't care. Do whatever. Of course, we explain what happens. Israel goes and says, basically, we're going to start a nuclear war if you don't come in and help us. And for some reason, we give in to that rather than seeing it as the obvious blackmail threat that it is and understanding that Israel is, in fact, our true enemy. That's the way an enemy treats you. Let's go to some of these clips from before the meeting. This is from earlier on at Mar-a-Lago. We'll go first to clip number two here. This is Trump asking for, once again, the Israeli president to pardon Benjamin Netanyahu, Israeli prime minister. Let's watch.
The president of Israel needs to give the prime minister a pardon. I think he will. How do you not? He's a wartime prime minister who's a hero. How do you not give a pardon? I think it's a very hard thing not to do it. I spoke to the president, and he tells me it's on its way.
Mr. President,
you can't do better than that, right?
He tells me it's on its way. He's a wartime president. Yeah, because he started a war. What are you talking about? He's a wartime president because he ordered a stand down on October 7th and allowed all these people to be kidnapped in order to justify the invasion of Gaza that they've wanted forever. Like, what do you mean he's a wartime president? Every Israeli prime minister is always a wartime president because they're always at war with everybody. What does that even mean? Oh, he started a war with Hamas. Therefore, he's not guilty of the things he was convicted for. Oh, okay. Cool. Wish we could stop being humiliated by these people. That'd be great. Clip number three here. This is, again, Trump just going right along with the, Israeli dog leash. Okay, it was all about nuclear weapons. Well, We're changing it up. Now it's about ballistic missiles. Yes, sir. Now we're going to war over ballistic missiles. That's the big threat now. Doesn't matter. Just whatever new excuse they can come up with. Let's go to clip number three here.
Will you support an attack, Israeli attack on Iran, if Iran will not have a deal? If Iran will continue with their ballistic missiles and also nuclear weapons?
If they will continue with the missiles, yes. The nuclear, fast. Okay. One will be yes, absolutely. The other was, we'll do it immediately.
Okay. Yes, and the other is fast. So yes. So basically we're going to go bomb the Iranian ballistic missile sites. Okay, but he wants to talk to Iran. But we are going to bomb the missile sites. Although we may do it slow, but we'll do it faster if it's nuclear. I feel like what gets lost in this is anybody asking the question, why? Why is America involved in any of this? Why would we care? Why are we trying to fight Iran? They used to answer that by saying, well, it's a nuclear weapon. They'll attack America with it. Okay, we're not talking about that anymore. So the question now needs an answer. Why? But why, though? Ballistic missiles aren't a threat to us. They may be a threat to our forces in the region, which I guess would beg the question, why do we have so many forces in the region that are within striking distance of Iran? Like, what are we doing here? And why? And this is obviously about things a lot bigger than the war with Iran. It's about World War III. It's about the New World Order. And I don't know, maybe we need to like start over from the beginning to explain to everybody like what's going on here. And I am going to do this a little bit in the next segment because I'm going to talk about libtards. I'm going to talk about retarded liberals and really break down what's going on in their minds. It's disturbing but informative. Because a lot of like the left wing, they're right about what they think for one step. And then you try to take a step beyond that and it's just chaos and stupidity. You've got to be able to take a few extra steps and understand that like what's happening in Israel, it's not about Israel. It's about creating a state that will serve as the capital of the globalist superstate. It's about eliminating nationalism as a concept for everywhere in the world except for Israel, whose nationalism and, you know, ethnic apartheid state will be unquestionable, but everybody else will be completely deracialized and turned into mush, basically. So that's what it's really about. And a lot of what we're seeing go on is all pushing towards that ultimate, you know, planned New World Order system, the setup there. You know, there's a clip. Actually, let's go to clip number one here. I believe this is what I'm thinking of. I'll pull this out. But here's clip number one. This is Trump again appearing to greenlight new attacks on Iran while meeting with Netanyahu. But he makes some other statements I want to comment on as well. Let's watch.
Look, he's a wartime prime minister. He's done a phenomenal job. He's taken Israel through a very dangerous period of trauma. Israel with other people might not exist right now, if you want to know the truth. That's a pretty big statement, but it's true. I feel that. You had the wrong prime minister. Israel right now would not exist because they were met with a force the likes of which very few countries could have handled. And we worked together, and we were extremely victorious, to put it mildly. Now I hear that Iran is trying to build up again, and if they are, we're going to have to knock them down. We'll knock them down. We'll knock the hell out of them, but hopefully that's not happening. I heard Iran wants to make a deal. If they want to make a deal, that's much smarter. You know, they could have made a deal the last time before we went through, you know, a big attack on them, and they decided not to make the deal. They wish they made that deal. So I think, again, they should make a deal. They want to make a deal. But sometimes that doesn't happen. Yeah, please.
Mr. Tamavai, the W. Melech, I 24 News Israel. Would you support the overthrow of the Iranian regime?
Of who?
Iranian regime.
I'm not going to talk about overthrow of a regime. It's, they've got a lot of problems that are in. They have tremendous inflation. Their economy is bust. Their economy is no good. And I know that people aren't so happy, but don't forget, every time they have a riot or somebody forms a group, little or big, they start shooting people. You know, they kill people. And the people tend to I've watched this for years, this tremendous discontent. They form 100,000, 200,000 people. All of a sudden, people start getting shot. And that group disbands pretty quickly. So I've watched it for years. They're vicious, vicious people, yeah.
Mr. President, will you support an attack, Israeli attack on Iran, if Iran will not have a deal? If Iran will continue with their ballistic missiles and also nuclear weapons?
If they will continue with the missiles, yes. The nuclear, fast. Okay. One will be yes, absolutely. The other
subtleties going on here, right? He starts off by saying basically Israel wouldn't exist without us. So in part, and ostensibly, he's playing himself up as the savior of Israel. We rescued as we fought with them, and they might not even exist. That's just how powerful what they were up against. Okay, he's pumping himself up as the savior of Israel, also kind of humiliating for Israel. You know, you guys would be dead if it wasn't for us, right? You know, you owe your existence to us. Again, kind of a slap across the face. But so, you know, again, a part of this is like, all right, Trump is like, that's sort of the perfect statement from Trump. He's talking about doing Israel's bidding. He's celebrating himself as the savior of Israel. He's bragging about this at the same time. He's sort of undercutting Israel in a way, sort of reminding them that, you know, they can't do it without us. But then you've got other things like this from the InfoWars story. Netanyahu meets with Trump amid Gaza peace plan. Trump says he hopes Israel can move into the second phase of the White House brokered Gaza peace plan as quickly as we can. But there has to be a disarmament. We'll have to disarm with Hamas. It's one of the things we'll talk about quickly, but there has to be a disarming of Hamas, otherwise very quickly. And he keeps talking about, you know, Hamas is and Lindsey Graham is making statements about this, saying, you know, I've been to Gaza and I've seen that Hamas is not disarming in the way that they agreed to. And it's like, all right, have you looked into what Israel's doing? Israel has killed on average 2 people a day during the entire ceasefire. They've killed over 700 relatives of Palestinian journalists in Gaza, not including the hundreds of or at least dozens of journalists they've deliberately killed. Netanyahu calls for armed Jewish security forces worldwide. That ties into the Greater Israel Project. From Lee Camp at Redacted, at Lee Camp on X. Nothing to see here, just Israel building 13 military outposts in and around the 58% of Gaza they've stolen. But yeah, it was about the hostages, right? So Israel's supposed to leave from Gaza. They haven't left from Gaza. There's supposed to be a ceasefire. They haven't stopped firing. They're supposed to, you know, again, return Gaza back to the Gazans and exit the entire area, but instead they're building 13 military outposts in the area around Gaza. And we can go to .cam to see that map, guys. Trump's Gaza peace plan apparently involves a foreign force to finish the job, including American boots on the ground there. So, okay, is there even a ceasefire? And if there is a ceasefire, which side is not sticking to it? I mean, this doesn't make any sense. Hamas is supposed to disarm, but Israel continues to bomb refugee camps and building military outposts. Again, you can't have it both ways. You can't demand that they stick to the agreement that you've completely incinerated. That doesn't make any sense. But then on top of that, there's this push to use this conflict, including the rash of anti-Semitic terrorist attacks around the world, to create basically a super class of humans that are above all law. And it's a little bit disturbing, but it's definitely being implemented at a very rapid pace. Talk about it more on the other side. Stay with us.
I want to talk to you all right now about something beyond important. And it's about a choice that you have to make. And that's not hype. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has been under unprecedented attack for really 15 years, intensifying when Obama, in 2013, secretly listed us as a terrorist organization for destruction by the CIA and FBI that was declassified earlier in the year by the Trump administration. I'm all over the Crossfire Hurricane. I'm all over the Arctic Frost as one of the main people to be taken out by the deep state itself. And the reason for that is we have the information. I have the background. I have the research. I have the guest. I have the crew. We have the giant audience. They tune in and they cannot stand what they hear being discussed on this broadcast. So when you spread the word about this broadcast, when you pray for this broadcast, when you share the articles and videos and reports or take them and make clips yourself and share them, this belongs to you as much as it belongs to me. When you do that, You are the amplification system. Again, you're not part of the fight. You are the fight. And when you support this operation financially, you allow us to stand up against the Paul Weiss law firm, the top Democrat law firm in the country, and we are having major victories against them. We've held them off, shutting us down, as you've seen, intensely the last few years, and it is just a knockdown, drag-out operation. But regardless, the Alex Jones store, thealexjonesstore.com, is not owned by me, it's owned by Bigley. It's funding InfoWars and the fight and the crew and the operation and the bandwidth and everything. And it's funding the Alex Jones Network backup that's been built. So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free on almost every supplement we've got. A few of them we can't because of methylene red, a small shipment came in. It's going to sell out probably today. So, and this is the key. You don't just buy one of one type and get the same one free. That's the usual deal. You can buy any supplement and buy any other supplements. You can buy a $20 supplement and buy a $45 one free. You understand? So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultramethylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Ultimate power drink mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate power drink mix, two great flavors now available at thealexjonesstore.com. High quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. Atomic Defense. Incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn. Safe, healthy, metabolic rate turn up to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra. Great for your brain. The Tallow Balm. We never talk about enough. Optimal Human. The ultimate green drink. You heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com. And it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do it without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.
Now, back to our program.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, InfoWars.com, Bandai Video. Please do share those links. Follow us on X. You can follow me at Harrison A. Smith. I just got invited to a space. Candace Owens, I guess, is doing a space tonight at 7:30. I'm a little bit torn on whether or not I'll do it, for one thing. I have a birthday dinner tonight, and I kind of just don't feel like doing it. But the other thing is that I don't think it will help, because it doesn't really matter what you say. Like, it's bizarre. Now, I'm not going to get into it right here. Maybe we'll touch on it a little bit more in the second hour. But we got Somali fraud to get into, and we've got immigration and the Ukraine war, and we'll be interviewing Casey Putsch in the third hour. So I don't really want to get into it right now, but it's just, the whole thing is nonsensical to the point that it doesn't feel productive to even participate in it. Like yesterday, this guy, Evan Kilgore, who I guess has been really, you know, into the whole Candace investigation the whole time and is one of her sort of, underlings on X, promoting her stuff. And he comes out with this long, like really long post, basically explaining why he doesn't buy the whole Mitch Snow Fort Huachuca story. And so I comment on it just being like, this is so weird. It's weird that this has developed in a conspiracy theory that, like, you have to apologize for not agreeing with one of the suppositions, one of the pieces of evidence. Like, that's never happened before. There's never been a, you know, conspiracy theory of this level that is seemingly owned by one person. Candace Owens dictates what the investigation is, and if you disagree with her, you're out, and you're now, you know, by virtue of disagreeing with her, part of the establishment, and you've sold out, and you're completely against everybody now. And it's like, it's in the case with 9/11, it's not the case with Las Vegas. Well, in the case with Sandy Hook, I mean, everybody gets to speculate, everybody can have different views, and that's never been an issue before. So what is it about this particular issue that has become like this? It's weird. It's weird. It doesn't make any sense, especially since Evan Kilgore writes this whole long post being like, I don't hate Candace. I'm not trying to try. I'm just saying this whole Mitch Snow thing, not really the right trail to go down. And then Candace Owens' response is like, oh, so you were coordinating this. You were coordinating this attack, weren't you? And it's like, and she's like, why don't you show us your chat logs? Tell us who you're talking to. It's like, who the hell are you? What are you even talking about? What? Why would he owe you anything? Why are you treating this like you're an inquisitor? It just doesn't make any sense. So anyway, I comment on that and just go, hey, this is weird. And I'm commenting about Evan and his post. Now she's being treated as Queen Bee. And then Candace Owens responds, talking about Alex Jones and posting screenshots of Alex Jones' tweets. And like under her, there's all these comments being like, that's why we love Candace. Just like straight to the point, provides receipts. And it's like, she is not responding to what I said. I don't know if she even read what I said because she just responded about something entirely different. So, and then everybody's like, yeah, Candace, you got him. And it's like, I didn't even mention Alex Jones. I wasn't even talking about Alex Jones. I was talking about Evan Kilgore. I was talking about how weird it is that he has to do this like mea culpa because he disagrees with a piece of evidence that Candace herself is like, I'm 50-50 on this. Like, what is going on? It's very weird. It's very weird. So that type of thing where it's like you post something. It's very clear. I'm talking about Evan Kilgore, his post. Don't even mention Alex. Candace responds as if I'm talking about Alex. Responds with a bunch of stuff about Alex. And then acts like she won the argument. It's like, I didn't even mention Alex. What are you even talking about? So why, like, so what would be the benefit of me participating in a space? So I can make cogent, intelligent, logical points for you just to pretend I didn't say it. Pretend I didn't say anything. And just start arguing against things that I've never said and don't agree with. And then putting a gold star on yourself saying you won the argument that I wasn't having. Why would I do that? Why would I participate in that? I might. I still might. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. We'll see how I feel at 7:30. But what would be the point? What would be the point? Are you going to convince me? I mean, it's almost. I mean, it is funny in a way. The way people are treating this, where it's like, Mitch Snow, the guy that brought down Alex Jones, you know, the deep state couldn't do it. The most highly paid lawyers in the entire world couldn't even slow him down. Big tech, in a combined fashion, kicking us off every single platform in a single day, didn't even serve as a speed bump in our operation. But it's hero whistleblower Mitchell Snow, his bombshell, devastating revelation. And obviously it's going to lead to a domino effect that tears down not just TPUSA, but the American and probably Israeli government, and anybody who stood in Candace's way will be, you know, destroyed as they justly deserve. It's like, what are you talking about? Here's my promise. Here's my guess. Like, I can't promise this, but here's my supposition. I'll give it 2 months. I mean, this is such a big thing. I will go at him. I will extend my prediction. I was going to say 1 month. 2 months, nobody will be talking about Mitch Snow. Nobody will be talking about Fort Huachuca. Nobody will be talking about any of this because it doesn't mean anything. Because it's not anything. No one's going to remember any of this in 2 months. That's my prediction. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is the string that you start pulling and unravels the whole sweater. That'd be great. It's not going to happen. No one's going to remember this. It's going to go nowhere. It's not going to be anything. And I'm pretty confident in saying that because I've been following Candace Owens' investigation. It never goes anywhere. Nothing ever comes of anything. So here we are. Here we are 3 months later. Nothing tangible. Nothing to actually sink your teeth into. No verifiable claims. No working theory of the assassination. Just endless speculation about things that I can't even figure out what the importance is supposed to be. So anyway, we'll see. Maybe I'll talk about it at 7:30. Maybe not. Probably not. Probably not, if I had to guess. So let's get back into what we were just talking about. I'm going to finish up here with the Israeli stuff and then talk about, sort of combine it with the general stupidity of liberals and leftists and what a unfortunate barrier to our unity that is going to serve to be. But Netanyahu came to America, obviously, to try to get us once again into war with Iran, as is our tradition, as is our monthly tradition for Netanyahu to try to get the American golem to go fight his battles for him. And we have to resist. And for some reason, this dance goes on and on. But he was here doing other stuff. Benjamin Netanyahu, Elon Musk discuss AI cooperation. Musk and Netanyahu hold virtual meeting to, quote, catapult Israel into a global leader in artificial intelligence. Last night, I held a joint conference with Florida, from Florida with entrepreneur Elon Musk, Minister of Transportation Miri Regev, and the head of National AI headquarters, Erez Askel. And this is Netanyahu tweeting this out. I spoke at length with Musk about promoting and developing artificial intelligence technologies in Israel. And I said in our conversation, we intend to catapult Israel and turn it into a global leader in the field, just as we did with cyber and other technologies. So this is the real war. Now, as we pointed out, not only has Israel launched a quote-unquote eighth front war to take over the American information sphere through taking over or pressuring social media companies to, you know, censor on Israel's behalf. They've also launched, you know, takeover of major news corporations like CBS News. They've taken over TikTok as part of the negotiations with China. That's why we're taking 600,000 Chinese students so Israel can own TikTok and TikTok can stop uploading videos of their endless crimes. But it's not just about America. It's about the world. It is a worldwide eighth front, where they are using attacks, a lot of times by Muslims, to carve out for themselves special privileges, special security guarantees, and millions or billions of dollars in funding to protect Jews all over the world, wherever they happen to be. And we explained this, you know, after the Bondi Beach shooting. You have this major push to another gun buyback. They're going to severely once again limit or curtail gun ownership in Australia, except for the Jewish groups. Except the Jewish groups get a special dispensation. There are special armed Jewish security groups that not only will be allowed to carry guns, are being given millions of dollars by the Australian government to carry guns. That, to me, is a really sort of perfect example of the way this rolls out. You have white Christian Australians mad that they are having their country given away to a bunch of Muslim migrants. The Muslim migrants, who are supported by the state and, you know, given caveats themselves by the state, kill a bunch of Jewish people. And then the government's response is to crack down on the white Christian people who were protesting against the Islamic immigration that led to the attack, while giving extra, you know, benefits and specific carve outs to Jewish groups because they're the victims of the crime. And this happens in the same thing in the UK when white people are attacked by Muslim immigrants. It's we have to hold hands and come together, and we're arresting any white people who speak out against it. And we certainly will crack down on any white people trying to do anything about it. When a Jewish group gets attacked, it's Jews must feel safe in the UK. We have given them millions of dollars in special security. We are assigning official government agents to escort Jews to and from holiday parties, Hanukkah parties, things like that. Again, it's not even about that being a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. If you have a group of people that are being targeted, it makes sense to give them special carve-outs. It's the discrepancy. It's the hypocrisy. It is the inequality of the fact that when white people are targeted, they are punished. And when Jews are targeted, they are rewarded, empowered, and protected. multiply that over and over and over again, what you end up with is a caste system with Jews on top and everybody else on bottom. And that is what they're trying to create. I'm not trying to be hysterical about this. It's just this has been slowly being cobbled together for a while, and I feel like we need to be talking about this. Because it has to do with AI. It has to do with media coverage. It has to do with all of this stuff and the attacks that, you know, are fostered by the Muslim immigrants that come in largely thanks to the efforts of Jewish groups in the first place. So it's, you know, a crisis reaction solution operation that's being run worldwide, and it's fairly obvious. But let's start with clip number 7 here, because this is Anna Kasparian of the Young Turks. She uncovered YouTube, and so we'll sort of start off with the information sphere aspect of this, which is the sort of first thing you need to establish. First, you need to establish the control of the media, control of, you know, information as a prerequisite before you can carry out the other corrupt activities, because obviously you don't want people finding out about that. So first you have to be able to censor that information, get that apparatus in place first, then the real corruption can begin. So YouTube is doing this, working on Israel's behalf and quietly deleting channels that show the truth about what's happening in Palestine. Here's Anna Kasparian reporting.
It looks like YouTube has quietly deleted more than 700 videos that document Israeli human rights violations, war crimes, and other abuses as part of an effort by our government here in the United States to essentially bury evidence of Israel's war crimes in Gaza and the West Bank. Now, according to reporting from The Intercept, YouTube surreptitiously deleted all these videos in early October by wiping the accounts that posted them from its website, along with their channel's archives. The accounts belong to three prominent Palestinian human rights groups, Al-Haq, Al-Mezan, Center for Human Rights, and the Palestinian Center for Human Rights. These three YouTube channels posted hours of footage documenting and highlighting alleged Israeli government violations of international law in both Gaza and the West Bank. And it's really important to have that record because, as we know, the Hasbara coming from Israel is strong. Our politicians are bought, and oftentimes bought on behalf of Israel, on behalf of doing favors for Israel. And I don't want what has happened over the last 2 years to be misrepresented in history books in the future. I want documentation of the war crimes that have been committed. But there is a very real effort, and a successful effort at that, to essentially wipe the internet of these videos. So the deleted videos range in scope from investigations, such as an analysis of the Israeli killing of American journalist Shireen.
All right, so you get the point. YouTube's on board. YouTube is doing the bidding, removing hundreds of videos on, you know, explaining Israel's war crimes. Let's go now to clip number 36. This was discovered also happening in Meta. Of course, Meta, we know, I think it was Jordana Cutler, I believe is her name, just got appointed as their Jewish diaspora chief. And basically she says, you know, the first things we did was change definitions so that anti-Zionism is now being treated as anti-Semitism, and anti-Semitism isn't being treated as bigotry. It's not under the bigotry heading. It's under the hate heading. So therefore it can be, you know, silenced even more. Basically just going out and bragging about taking over Facebook's censorship program to, you know, silence the truth about what's being done there. But it goes farther than that. Let's go to clip number 36 now.
Hey guys, I wanted to share something with you that happened today that I thought was pretty interesting, and I wanted to put a spotlight on it for you. So this is a new feature that I just discovered myself, but apparently Meta now, and Instagram specifically, allows you to set specific topics that you are either interested in or things that you are not interested in for your algorithm. So basically you can kind of set your own algorithm on the topics that you like and what you want to see more of and what you don't want to see a lot of. And funny enough, as you can expect, I was going in through my algorithm, and it had a lot of stuff about New York City. It had parenting hacks because it's that time of year, and man, I need a lot of help with the parenting these days. But it also had you know, some dining and food stuff, which I'm pretty interested in. And so I was like, you know what, let me see if I can add some tabs for some other topics that I'm interested in. And so I tried to create a tab for, you know, the Middle East. I keep tabs on what's going on there a lot, so I like to kind of stay abreast of all the developments. So I created a tab for Israel, and it let me do that. And then I wanted to add a tab for Gaza and Palestine, and it said these topics are not supported. And so I tried that again and again, and you can see, as I'm showing you there on my screen, it just wouldn't let me create a tab for Gaza and Palestine. And it had me thinking a little bit about how important the algorithm is to what we're able to see on a daily basis. You know, a lot of organizations, Human Rights Watch, tech organizations have been tracking this topic and have talked about how big companies and algorithms suppress content.
All right, so Meta's doing it too. So we got Google doing it, Facebook, obviously Meta, Instagram, they're doing it to, you know, get an even greater degree. You actually can't go in and say that you want to hear about these things. They'll algorithmically keep you from doing that. X is doing this as well. Let's go to clip number 9 here. We can play it as B-roll, and we keep the audio down. I believe this is from Project Constitution. But they reveal in the X source code, the algorithm code, basically it judges you, and it judges your tweet, and it, you know, has different ways that it weighs its, you know, scoring of you and this sort of stuff. And so what you're seeing here is it has an account name, Holland Citizen. It's been tagged for hate and harassment, but it has protected categories that are Jewish ethnicity and Jewish religion. So that weighs it less. So it's like, yeah, he says things that are offensive, but it's counterbalanced by the fact that he's a part of this group that doesn't really have to adhere to the same rules that everybody else does. So again, this is one of the ways that the algorithm has been manipulated. And of course, I've shown this as well, where you have Grok being asked about a map that Harmless Yard Dog put up, and it immediately says this is an anti-Semitic map. It's mapping Chabad Lubavitch places. And it's like, no, this is just a map of Houston with like traffic lights on it. And so we ask Grok, why did you say it revealed? Well, you know, Harmless Yard Dog has been tagged basically as suspicious. So it just basically confronts his tweets as if with the understanding and on the presumption that he's anti-Semitic. So that's what it filters everything through. So we know these algorithms are being manipulated and changed to weigh certain people more than others, weigh certain topics more than others, to spread certain information more than others. That, of course, has been well publicized and bragged about. So again, none of this is even a conspiracy theory, because none of it's hidden, none of it's secret. Like, they're just doing this. I just want to try to show you how they're doing it in so many different ways that it's like, what is the ultimate result of all of this? And it's pretty obvious. It's that there's this superstructure being built. There's a class or caste system worldwide being established where some are worth protecting, some are worth telling the truth about, and some aren't. Let's go to clip number 33 here. These are Israel's own leaders talking about taking over America's media outlets. Let's go to clip number 33 here.
Here's the bottom line.
What?
And I want to say this clearly. I want to say this clearly and without interruption. Israel's war stopped being on Hamas a long time ago. Israel's war is on the American First Amendment. Israel's biggest threat to its existence is free speech and people being exposed to the factual evidence of the war crimes that Israel is committing in real time. And that is why every time information is being freely shared about Israel's war crimes, the first immediate action that pro-Israel forces do in America is try to take ownership of that media. We see that happen with CBS. Just a week ago, Ben Shapiro was at a conference where he was openly bragging and thanking the capture of CBS by a pro-Zionist owner. Right now, as we speak, TikTok is in an ongoing deal to be owned by some of the most Zionist pro-Israel voices that the country has. And even your own leader, Netanyahu, was talking to a room of influencers calling TikTok the new weapon of war, and that he is so excited and can't wait for TikTok to transfer ownership to American owners so that they can censor people even more. The only chance that Israel has in this PR war is to try to completely curtail and annihilate the American First Amendment and American free speech. We are even gutting free speech on college campuses and destroying the American education system in order to silence criticism of Israel. There is an absolute rupture and there's our destruction of American society, all at the expense of protecting Israel's genocide.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is all factual and confirmed, and it's out in the open, and your own leaders brag about this.
They actually brag about it and talk about it pretty openly. It's just, if you're in favor of it, it's fine, but if you're against it, you're a vicious anti-Semite. I mean, all of these things, whether it's the adopting of the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, that includes anti-Zionism, so then you say, okay, all anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Oh my God, there's a giant spike in anti-Semitism. And then attack against Jewish people. You say, you know, this requires a special carve out where they get protection. And this is happening. We can go again to clip number 37. Here's Netanyahu, you know, not calling for gun control in Australia, calling for armed Jews and Jewish groups in particular to protect Jews in Australia from the consequences of mass immigration. Let's watch Netanyahu, clip number 37.
Just imagine if you had on that beach, on that Hanukkah gathering, if you had several armed guards, 10, 15, even 5, it would be over. Mm. That's what we've seen time and again in Israel, time and again. And that saves the day. And I think that's required right now. The world has changed. Recognize the change.
From DD underscore geopolitics on X, Netanyahu calls for armed Jewish security services services worldwide, and some agree. In a recent interview, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu explicitly argues for deploying armed Jewish security guards globally, modeled on Israel's own armed settler security doctrine. Referring to Hanukkah gathering attack, he claims 5 to 15 guards would have ended it immediately. This is not an off-the-cuff remark. It aligns directly with a December 2025 Israel Hayam op-ed calling for the creation of a, quote, Jewish people's guard. The guard is described as a permanent global security structure operating across borders, coordinated with Israel, the U.S., and allied governments, and integrated with local law enforcement. Notice the overtly militarized language. Jewish communities are described as being on the front line, requiring rapid response units, unified protocols, intelligence sharing, and preemptive identification for incitement processes before they turn violent. Front line of what? Rapid response units? The vision is already being partially implemented in Australia. Reporting has confirmed that the Community Security Group, a Jewish security organization with direct training links to Israel, is seeking expanded authority to carry weapons. A member told investigators the group had functioned as a recruiting ground for Israeli intelligence. So this is what's being created, is a global, again, superstructure, you know, managed out of Israel that will, you know, provide armed security and intelligence security specifically for Jewish citizens the world over, sort of as an extra government on top of their own government, while their own governments fail to serve the people that they're actually supposed to. It's a giant conspiracy, and it's being developed right in front of us.
So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free. So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultramethylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox, Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate Turmeric, 95% curcuminoid, Ultimate Power Drink Mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate Power Drink Mix. Two great flavors now available at TheAlexJonesStore.com. High quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. It's a private label, one of the top NAD Plus products in the country. Atomic Defense, incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra, great for your brain. The Tallow Balm, we never talk about enough. Optimal Human, the ultimate green drink. You've heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com, and it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. So we got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.
All right, welcome back, folks. I want to go to another video here. I want to go to clip 38. New York really is going down the socialist slope into hell. And, you know, people think it, like, can't happen here or something. No, it's happening. It's happening. You vote for people that promise to use the government to bring equality. Prepare to die. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's getting so much worse so quickly. They've just passed a bill to force homeowners in New York City to sell to NGOs or corporations. So at the same time that the left apparently is up in arms against BlackRock buying homes, like, so are we, but the left also is mad about this. They're mad because they think it's about money. They don't realize it's about control, but simultaneously you have the socialist mayor in New York essentially making a law, like spearheading the fight to pass a law to force people to sell first and foremost to corporations, not individual buyers. Again, yet again, the socialists serving 100% the will of their enemies. It's insane, but it's constant. Here is one New York City councilwoman who actually understands the true insanity that is taking over New York City right now. Let's watch.
In regard to what we're just talking about now, COPA, how wrong can a person be or a body of a government be when we start to take the individual rights away from the homeowner, whether it's a two-family house, three-family house, four-family house, what does it matter? The fact is the person owns the home. They have the right to sell the home to whomever they please. The idea that we have to consult with the building department and give a six-month period of time for someone else to make an offer is absolutely outrageous. And to say it's government overreach is 100% true. This is absolutely maniacal. I do not understand how this body works when it comes to individual citizens of this city. This is overreach at its very best. I'm a homeowner, and no one is going to tell me or anybody else I know that's worked so damn hard to own a three or a four family home that I have to submit the ability to sell my house first to the building department and then offer it up to a non-for-profit when my neighbor across the street may want to buy it. And they have to wait 6 months? Nonsense. This is absolutely ridiculous. And also I want to just add to this hearing today, this meeting today, that it's absolutely ridiculous, and everybody in this room should be terribly embarrassed that we stripped off veterans' bills today from today's hearings. Why? When the men and women of this country deserve better treatment, and our city today that we passed in committee has failed to come through for our veterans. Stripped it totally off the record for today. Absolutely ridiculous. Thank you very much, and shameful. Shame on all of you.
Very powerful stuff. Here's a story from Postmillennial. NYC poised to force landlords to sell private property to nonprofits to ensure affordable housing. New York City Council's passed what has been called the Community Opportunity to Purchase Act, COPA, that will force private building owners to offer up their property to nonprofits and government entities before they make any private sale, effectively causing massive delays in property sales and other regulatory hurdles in the Big Apple's housing industry. In the scenario that it passed, NYC will have the largest COPA programmed in the company. The act forces landlords to offer their property to the city as well as nonprofits before the building can be sold on the public market. The lawmaker who sponsored the law, Councilmember Sandy Nurse, claims it will be a win for New Yorkers. Quote, corporate interests in big real estate tried their hardest to block the COPA Act with misinformation and fear-mongering campaign, and they failed. Today marks the beginning of a new social housing era in New York. COPA levels the playing field, makes it possible to preserve and create thousands of permanently affordable homes in our city. The playing field is level.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. Support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Massive sale there. Buy one, get one on all supplements. You can buy any supplement and get any other supplement free. Buy a cheap one, get an expensive one free. That sale ends tomorrow. Go now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We'll tell you more about that later. But I got a lot of major political news to get into, including the fact that Tyler Robinson, the alleged Charlie Kirk assassin, is asking that the entire prosecutor team be kicked off the case because of connections they have to people who witnessed the event. Same time, you have John Brennan, who's discovered that he is the subject of a indictment in Florida, and is asking to change the venue because they want a more friendly judge, which itself is in a way a sort of admission that they're feeling the heat and are worried about John Brennan's legal future. Also have this, let's just touch on this really quick, because this is exactly what we warned would be the case. When you had the Seditious Six come out with the video saying, oh no, we're just saying don't follow your orders, but just the illegal ones. Like it's totally fine for us to say that because we're just saying the illegal orders. So we're, you know, sticking more or less to the letter of law, which isn't even true, but regardless, we said there should be something about this. Well, technically, they said, they really towed the line and didn't quite say anything that was illegal. And it's like, no, it's illegal. No, what they were doing was trying to spread discontent in the underlings. They're trying to frame Trump as an illegitimate president. So his orders are ignored. They're trying to create chaos in the ranks of our military deliberately. That is the only reason they would make that video. They should have been treated like traitors because that's what they are. They should have been charged with the crime they committed because they clearly committed the crime. Again, this isn't like some sort of weird board game where you're trying to win by maxing out the, rules of the game. No, we have laws in the English language as a limited way of expressing the morals and the guide rails of our entire country. You can't have a law that specifically, is attributed to every single event that happened. You have general laws that express in general what you're not allowed to do. I always use the example of kidnapping. Okay, kidnapping might have a specific, definition in your mind of, man in a van offering candy and scooping up little kids driving away. Like, yeah, that's obviously kidnapping, but so is keeping your kid beyond your custody window. That's also kidnapping. Well, it's your kid and they're just at home for longer than they're supposed to be. Well, technically, It's kidnapping. It's not the maybe dictionary definition of kidnapping, but it's this is just a term that we use to apply to a class of activity that is illegal. Okay, same thing with this, you know, law about not trying to encourage the American military to disobey orders. As the law is written, these seditious six broke that law blatantly. We didn't do anything about it. Everybody had cold feet. Oh, they'll really, you know, regret doing this eventually. Like, nothing happened. Nothing happened. So what's happening now? Leftist group recruits military officials to turn against Trump's drug cartel strikes. So you now have a left-wing organization advising military members who disagree with President Trump and his orders. Says officials are seeking its help over the president's boat strikes targeting Latin American drug traffickers. Win Without War, a progressive foreign policy advocacy group, says its nationwide outreach campaign geared towards the armed forces is working on a Sunday email to supporters mentioning billboards placed near military bases. Say, quote, staff officers and at least one drone pilot have sought advice out of fear of legal consequences for their role in the Trump and War Secretary Pete Hegseth's illegal boat strikes on suspected drug trafficker boats, the group said. While Trump demands unquestioning obedience, Win Without War is reminding troops they still have an option in case they're given illegal orders. So you have a leftist group now recruiting active military to be traitors. That's what's happening here. You create the perception that they will be punished by following illegal orders. The orders aren't illegal. It's not legal for them to disobey them, but they create this atmosphere of fear and say, you have to disobey these orders or else you'll be the one charged with war crimes. So then these people go, I don't want to be charged with war crime. I guess I'll go over to the enemy. And now they're recruiting. Are we obliged to allow them to do this? Are we obliged for a leftist organization? Are we obliged to allow a leftist organization to put up billboards and advertise on military bases? Hey, you don't want to follow orders? Come follow us. We'll give you the legal backing you need. Hey, you disagree with what President Trump is doing? Give us your name. We'll help you out. You can whistleblow to us. And we can disrupt the entire administration that way. We can actually create a true crisis in the military where some percentage of the soldiers will refuse to follow orders and may turn against the people that are fulfilling their oath. I mean, are we obligated to allow this? I mean, how much farther are they going to go with this? So there's an organization now who's just openly advertising, hey, want to disobey orders? Get in contact with us. We're all meeting up. Hey, do you want to be traitors to your government? Do you want to be a turncoat? Do you want to be a spy for America's enemies inside America's armed forces? Give us a call. And they're making billboards, and nobody's doing anything about this. This will probably be the last thing they do, though, right? I mean, once they do this, I mean, they'll be satisfied, right? It's not like they're going to escalate even more. It's not like they're going to do anything with all these people they're now recruiting in the American military to be turncoats. I mean, okay, you know, just wish people would listen to us every once in a while. Wish we would have stopped this before it's gotten to this point. I wish we'd stop it now before it gets to the next point, but I doubt it. The truth is the effectiveness of our campaign makes us a target, and the impact comes with a cross. Win Without War said, coverage of our billboards has invited a flurry of hate speech, harassment, and intimidation from right-wing provocateurs, but we are undeterred as ever. Yeah, see, they get to openly break the law, literally put billboards up encouraging American military men to be turncoats. And then if you say, hey, what the hell is this? They go, oh my God, it's hate speech. We're being attacked. Anybody sick of this already? Anybody else completely and utterly sick of this? Win Without War said Sunday it will continue its campaign against Trump by installing billboards near the Florida-based Southern Command facility that oversees forces in Central America, South America, and the Caribbean. The outreach will also target Naval Station Norfolk in Virginia as the headquarters of the Joint Operations command, an entity that Hegseth tried to at least one of the, tied to at least one of the boat strikes. Okay. So there, so literally we have anti-American leftist organizations actively recruiting active members of the U.S. military to go against the commander in chief. Are we going to do anything about this or not? Probably not. Well, why not? I genuinely don't know. I don't know. Why did it take Nick Shirley to expose the fraud in Minnesota? Why hasn't Trump arrested any of the dozens and dozens of people that we know beyond any reasonable or unreasonable doubt committed crimes? Like, we have the evidence. They admitted it in text messages, like Peter Strzok, Lisa Page. Like, why are they not going after any of these people? Why are we letting the left just continue to flagrantly break the law in a million different ways? And how long are we going to take it? And what do we do next? Because, you know, everybody's pretty much on board here. Like, if Trump wants to save the country, you've got 3 years to do a hell of a lot of stuff, and nothing's getting done so far. We're about a year into the first administration, and so I'm pretty much entirely, completely unsatisfied with the progress so far. So I know a lot of people are like, well, voting isn't going to help. Like, there's no way to fix the system. So, okay, so what's next? I'm open to that possibility, but what's next then? I think what's next is, like, gangs. Like, we just need gangs. Because obviously the justice system can't be trusted anymore. I mean, we're really past the point where it shouldn't be trusted. People are still trusting it. People will still continue to trust it for a little while. But, you know, it'll get to a point where I'm kind of already at that point where if something happens to somebody I know, I'm not necessarily trusting the government to get justice for it. We've seen how many people are just let out after violent crimes to victimize people over and over again. You know, at a certain point, the system's just going to break down under the weight of its own incompetence. And then what happens? What's next? Well, what do we do then? Because we could be very rapidly approaching that eventuality. We should probably be planning on what to do at that point. And unfortunately, while the left and the right are actually coming together on a lot of things, we are still separated by this impassable gulf of stupidity. They are surrounded by a moat of their own ignorance, and we can't break through. It's impossible. A couple of videos have come out since last we were on air that I want to go to that I simply categorized as videos about the libtards. This was one of them. Let's go to clip number 10. This is what it's like trying to talk to people who have been brainwashed for their entire lives and who exist in a world in which words are merely tools to achieve their ends. They mean nothing. The truth doesn't matter. It's what magical combination of symbols can I put together to make you do what I want? And that's the only thing they care about. It's not about truth. It's not about reality. It's not about trying to come to an understanding. It's not about trying to, like, you know, ferret out what reality is, right? Again, words are imperfect. I might hear you say something and I go, I don't quite understand. Can we work that out? Like, that's the way words are, you know, supposed to be used, not for liberals. It's just what is the strategy to beat the person I'm talking to? And it really makes everything impossible. Let's go to this clip here, clip number 10.
Vision to diversity.
I don't want to be, like, replaced at a job because I'm
you
white.
You are not being replaced.
I literally just said I've not gotten jobs.
So have I, but I don't feel like I'm being replaced.
That's what that is. You could have got that job if you were black. So how is that not being replaced? That's what affirmative action is. What do you think it is?
No, that was casting. That's what that was. It was casting. But why is it hard for you not to just go, I did not get that one, let me go for this one?
Yeah, I will do that. But you think, like, black people would be chill with that if it's like, oh, sorry, you're black.
I think they have been chill with that.
I don't think so. We had a whole civil rights movement, I don't think that was very true.
You got a problem with the civil rights movement?
Because they were being discriminated against, so they
started civil rights. You think they should still be slaves?
What? I mean, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they weren't chill with being discriminated against.
You think that we should still have them at the back of the bus.
No.
Like,
what?
These things happen so that we could have equality. Why is equality difficult for you?
How is it equality for me to not get a job because I'm white?
Why is it a problem to just work harder?
I mean, how would you feel if white people said that to black people pre-civil rights?
I feel like you probably say that to black people post-civil rights.
Okay, what? I'm telling you folks, what are you supposed to say to these people? They're trying to not understand. It's probably the tweet of the year from, I have it right here. I just keep thinking Millennial Woes. He's the one. Millennial Woes had a tweet that's like, it's impossible to talk to leftists because their entire discussion strategy revolves around pretending not to understand things. And that's what that was. But are they pretending? I don't know if they are. I mean, the concept's not hard to understand. Discrimination bad. Okay. Discrimination bad. All right. You say discrimination against black people bad. And they go, yep, absolutely 100%. You go discrimination against white people good. And they go, what? But white people bad. Well, white people bad, discrimination against white people good, discrimination against white people good. That's like the level of their argument. It's just like, you're retarded. I'm sorry to tell you this. It's incurable. And you're just going to have to live that way. Now, to me, the only response to this is, democracy was a mistake. These people should not be allowed to vote. I'm not going to try to convince them. I don't care if they're convinced or not. I just need them not having the temerity to think that they should be involved in politics. How dare they? Again, stupidity is fine. If it's humble, it's this combination of total ignorance, total stupidity, and overwhelming confidence. It's a potent and dangerous combination that we have to get rid of. What's wrong with working a little harder? What's wrong with the government coming in and dictating that you can't be hired? I don't know. What's wrong with that, lady? Do I need to explain that to you? And that's sort of the whole thing with like the Somali fraud. I mean, I probably have like 15 videos of the Somali fraud. This stuff is not that complicated. You don't really need the details. Okay? These women have been brainwashed to hate white people. And that's all it is. They want white people to be discriminated against. They will laugh at white people when they are discriminated against. They don't care. They're not moral. They aren't good people. They don't have truly humanitarian, universal, objective beliefs. They just don't. They just hate white people. They've been trained to hate white people. They aren't human beings. They don't think for themselves. They've never once tried to, hold these two thoughts in their own minds, which is why cognitive dissonance is so, it doesn't matter to them. It doesn't matter to them. They will scream and shout and tear their hair out about discrimination. Then you go, okay, well, I'm being discriminated against. They go, well, sweetie, maybe you deserve it. Okay. They're just awful. Same thing with the Somali fraud. It's like, it's just a class of criminals. It's just a nation of criminals. They're just screwing you over because they can. And the Democrats are letting them do it because they benefit. It's not complicated. It's not sophisticated. And it actually goes even further. We'll tie this into the Somali fraud and the judges that are letting the Somali fraudsters out. In the old days, in a world not overwhelmed and overcome by this indoctrinated stupidity, there would be some sort of conspiracy to point to. That wouldn't happen without a conspiracy to point to. You wouldn't have a judge going out of their way to, undo a jury conviction and let a criminal go if there hadn't been some backroom deal made in the first place. Because it's inexplicable. Why would a judge step in to free this person when a jury convicted them, when you've gone through all the trouble of getting a conviction, of getting all the evidence, the man is a criminal, he committed a crime, he's convicted of the crime, and then a judge comes in and says, actually, never mind, you're free to go. Typically, you'd be able to then investigate that judge and find out what money he got or whatever. But as we've explained for a very long time on InfoWars, we're beyond the stage of the smoke-filled rooms and the coordination behind the scenes. It is a universal conspiracy now. It is a conspiracy of minds that liberal white women that have been put in positions of judges, they don't need to be coerced. They don't need to be bribed. They are just like misprogrammed robots, ill-programmed robots. They're like animals operating on an instinct that they don't even understand. They just want to free the Somali person. They don't know why. They don't benefit from it. They just understand that that's their role, and so they're doing it. Beaver makes dams, right? An ant digs holes in the ground, and liberal white women let criminals out of prison. They don't need to be bribed for it. They don't need to be coerced. They don't need to, you know, correspond or collaborate or conspire beforehand. They just all understand what's going on. They just all understand this is what we're doing now. And they just do it. A conspiracy of minds is where we're at this point. Let's go now to clip number 34. Let's go to clip number 22. Well, yeah, let's go to clip number 22 here. This sort of ties it all in together as well. This is Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Flanagan putting on a hijab and declaring that Somalis built Minnesota. Totally nonsense. We'll get into it on the other side. I just want to remind you that the left cannot go a week without dressing up like the fantasy novel Handmaid's Tale to spread the weird blood libel, you know, scaremongering tactic of Christians bad because remember the Handmaid's Tale. Meanwhile, actually putting on a literal Handmaid's Tale outfit, a hijab, a oppression of women symbol to ingratiate themselves with the incredibly misogynistic and hateful religious and ethnic groups that they're pandering to. Again, make it make sense. Make it make sense. The left, who has nightmares about the Handmaid's Tale, this utter ridiculous fantasy that doesn't even make sense. Meanwhile, oh, you want me to put on a Handmaid's Tale costume to submit myself to your caveman religion? Sure, I'd love to. Let's watch.
Assalamu alaikum. My name's Peggy Flanagan. I am the Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, and I'm really honored and humbled to be here with all of you today. I am incredibly clear that the Somali community is part of the fabric of the state of Minnesota. I think about my friendship with NIMCO. We've been friends for almost 25 years. And when I think of being part of Minnesota and growing up here, the Somali community has always been a part of my Minnesota. So I want to just encourage the community to know that we're with you. We've got your back. I am here shopping today and just encourage
Why
other folks to show up.
Why is there a video of this whore with her hair out? I'm sorry. Did I just see that woman without her hair covered? All right. Well, that's a net. That doesn't really count. That's not modest. I'm sorry, whore. Put your hood back on when you talk to us, please. Like, I wouldn't even hate liberals if they actually believed anything that they profess. If their feminism also made them enemies with whatever this is, I'd be on their side. But they will freak out about the fantasy of Handmaid's Tale, but when it comes to wearing a hijab, there's no, how dare you? There's no, you know, you're trying to enslave women. It's, oh my God, we're appreciating their beautiful culture. The beautiful culture that we create a facsimile of to fantasize about being done by Christians. We can oppose that when we willfully and gleefully submit to actual oppression of women from actually misogynistic cultures. Liberals, you're retarded. I'm sorry. There's no other way of putting it. I wish there was a nicer way. You're criminally retarded.
I want to talk to you all right now about something beyond important. And it's about a choice that you have to make. And that's not hype. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has been under unprecedented attack for really 15 years, intensifying when Obama 2013. Secret listed as a terrorist organization for destruction by the CIA and FBI that was declassified earlier in the year by the Trump administration. I'm all over the Crossfire Hurricane. I'm all over the Arctic Frost as one of the main people to be taken out by the deep state itself. And the reason for that is we have the information. I have the background. I have the research. I have the guest. I have the crew. We have the giant audience. They tune in and they cannot stand what they hear being discussed on this broadcast. So when you spread the word about this broadcast, when you pray for this broadcast, when you share the articles and videos and reports or take them and make clips yourself and share them, this belongs to you as much as it belongs to me. When you do that, you are the amplification system. Again, you're not part of the fight. You are the fight. And when you support this operation financially, you allow us to stand up against the Paul Weiss law firm, the top Democrat law firm in the country, and we are having major victories against them. We've held them off, shutting us down, as you've seen, intensely the last few years, and it is just a knockdown, drag-out operation. But regardless, the Alex Jones store, thealexjonesstore.com, is not owned by me, it's owned by Bigley. It's funding InfoWars and the fight and the crew and the operation and the bandwidth and everything. And it's funding the Alex Jones Network backup that's been built. So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free on almost every supplement we've got. A few of them we can't because of methylene red, a small shipment came in. It's going to sell out probably today. So, and this is the key. You don't just buy one of one type and get the same one free. That's the usual deal. You can buy any supplement and buy any other supplements. You can buy a $20 supplement and buy a $45 one free. You understand? So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultra Methylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Cardiovascular Detox, Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Ultimate power drink mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate power drink mix, two great flavors now available at DeltaStore.com. High quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. Atomic Defense. Incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn. Safe, healthy, metabolic rate turnup to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra. Great for your brain. The Tallow Balm. We never talk about enough. Optimal Human. The ultimate green drink. You heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com. And it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for your support. We can't do it without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.
Now, back to our program.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're tuned in to the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is the War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. I'm going to go to another clip here, clip 27. This one went viral over the weekend. Just another clip in our collection here. So far, we've seen a woman not being able to understand why discrimination is bad, despite her vehemently hating it. And now let's go to clip number 27 here. Is a woman trying to convince Trump supporters there's no scientific evidence proving that different ethnicities have different genetics. Let's watch.
You've said things like, black women are biologically different than white women.
They have different fertility windows. They have a higher rate of fertility complications. 50%
There's no scientific evidence to prove that a black woman and a white woman are genetically different, right? This is like...
What are you talking about?
This is according, yeah. No.
But like literally, there are genes that code for their skin color.
This is government data. This is EMI, right? This is the National Institute of Health. This is the American Medical Association. Like, there is no scientific evidence to prove that.
And that's a big
races.
Problem, right?
Because
that's why I asked.
Like IQ differences. Black people are genetically different from other populations.
And I'll say that again. There is no scientific evidence to prove that, right? And as people
do you want to ask an AI if there's scientific evidence to prove that?
No, I want to ask.
Just factually incorrect. Humans are genetically diverse. It's not a bad thing that humans are genetically diverse.
I'm not saying it's a bad or a good thing. I'm saying there is no scientific evidence.
And I'm saying that is a factual.
He's saying that there is scientific
evidence. There is scientific evidence. There is overwhelming scientific evidence. This is like saying the sky is not blue. Like, it is genes that code their skin color, mm-hmm. right? Those genes are obviously different in them than they are in us. How is that not science? That's just like a basic fact. The genes that code their skin color, their level of melanin production, are different from my genes melanin production.
And that's precisely why I was asking this question, because I think for some people that do believe, like you, that people are genetically different, that has historically been used to promote racial hierarchies, right? And that's why I'm asking you,
do you see what's going on here? Do you see what's going on? Reality conflicts with their perspective, therefore reality has to be wrong. And then the appeal to authority, I'm not saying it, it's government data. Government data says genetics doesn't exist. Essentially what she's saying. I mean, it's a fairly common thing, and we, I guess, should be used to it by now. After all, of course, we always, the go-to, they don't know there's differences between men and women. But it's beyond that. Again, it's about the way they use words as tools, as weapons, as completely disconnected from reality. They're not interested in saying things that are true. They're interested in perpetuating an ideology and saying whatever it takes to perpetuate that ideology. Black people and white people are identical genetically, identical in genetics. What? Why would you even say that? What would be even the point of saying that? The point of saying that is because there obviously are differences. The thing is, if you acknowledge differences, you might be tempted to provide values to the two different things. You might see that one is maybe more desirable than another. Therefore, you're now being hateful because you recognize and acknowledge genetic differences. I mean, this is ridiculous. I'll use the word ridiculous this time since I've already said retarded too many times this episode, but there's no other word for it, and these are the people that we're having to deal with. Now, it gets frustrating to me because the left is almost split between people like that, people that we just saw, people who cannot understand, let alone acknowledge, obvious self-evident truths like genetics exist, men are women, men are men and women are women. Like, there's those types of people that are just beyond anything. And then there's the other side of the left, which is like a little bit more conscious, a little bit more aware, a little bit more able to acknowledge reality, but still somehow muffled, like they're somehow suppressed. They can never break through to true understanding of what's going on. It's like they're trapped in the kiddie pool of understanding. Okay? So I want to go to clip number eight here. Or I'm sorry, let's go to clip number six first. Clip number six. This was posted. 5 things corrupt leaders don't want conservatives and liberals realizing we agree on. So let's watch, and then we'll break down these 5 things.
Here are five things that corrupt people in power don't want conservatives and liberals realizing they agree on, and five things they don't want us focusing on. Number one, both sides want to ban hedge funds from buying single-family homes. Number two, both sides want to ban Congress and their immediate family from being able to trade stock. Number three, both sides want big money out of politics, and we want to ban unions, corporations, and super PACs from donating to federal campaigns and only allow individual citizens to do so. We can cap it at $100 per citizen per election campaign. Number four, we all want single-issue bills where Congress votes on one issue at a time, and we're not sneaking things into these giant bills, and one side isn't blaming the other for why a bill isn't passing. And number five, we all want foreign influence out of our politics and our elections. If you agree with this list and want to spread awareness on these topics, please consider liking, commenting, and sharing this video. Let's unite this country together.
So, again, in a way, I agree with him. To a certain extent, I'm on board. I would agree with these five things, banning BlackRock and other private equity from buying single-family homes, stopping Congress from buying stocks, banning super PACs and, you know, getting big money out of the politics, single-issue bills. These are all great ideas. And then, of course, banning foreign influence. Those are all great ideas, but I don't really believe you. I don't believe you, liberals. I don't believe you because you don't actually believe this, do you? I mean, you don't want Israel controlling our government. I believe that. I believe you're sincere in that. But will you say anything about Ilhan Omar saying she's using her position to benefit Somalia? Will you say anything about any of the congressmen or senators from foreign countries who get up and say, I'm more Guatemalan than I am American? Will you speak up against the foreign interference of millions upon millions of non-Americans coming here, filling out the census numbers and getting blue states more representation in Congress? I mean, those are foreign people coming here, influencing our elections. You have anything to say about that? No, it's about Israel. Okay, well, fine. I agree with you about Israel. Will you agree with me about every other country and every other form of international influence? What about the Ukraine war? Are you going to be with us on that? Probably not. So, like, I don't believe you. Like, it's nice that you can appeal to these things we both agree on, but when you get down to the details, I don't believe you. I think you love foreign influence. I think you love foreigners coming here to take our jobs, coming here to get into our government and manipulating it to their own ends to benefit themselves. You're not speaking out about what's going on with Somalians in Minnesota. You're covering it up and calling it white supremacist to look into. Why? They're foreigners, aren't they? Aren't they taking advantage of you? Aren't they destroying and you know, making insolvent the very programs that you champion? Why aren't you against those too? You're not consistent. You don't actually hold these beliefs. I don't believe you. Same thing with the, you know, big money out of politics. The big money is you guys. You guys have the big money. And there's already laws limiting, you know, individual contributions. They, you know, repackaged them through Act Blue. So it's like, okay, you can pass that law, but as we speak, Act Blue has already been proven to be a laundry service for huge donations that they then split up into a whole bunch of seemingly small donations to get around the laws preventing the single big donation. So let's solve that first, and then we can do extra laws. But like right now, the laws that are on the books are not being enforced because it's Democrats breaking them. Again, I don't believe you. I just don't believe that you actually don't want these things to happen. Congress stocks, that's fine, you know. Single-issue bills, that's also fine, but it's like, okay, we agree on single-issue bills, but then what is contained in the bills, well, what's contained in the bills from the left is going to be like, you know, schools are allowed to kidnap children and give them cross-sex hormones without the parents' permission. So, okay, you can write a single bill on that. You're still the enemy. In a way, it's like, I don't know, in a way, especially with the Somali fraud, maybe the libertarians were right. Maybe the whole thing is a mistake. Maybe anarchy is preferable to all of this. But when it comes to BlackRock buying single-family homes, why are they against that? What is it about that you'd be against? It's perfectly in line with everything you believe, liberals. What, are you suddenly in favor of intergenerational wealth? Are you in favor of, you know, a family being able to buy property and then pass it down unencumbered to their children? Why should we let somebody own so much property like that when other people don't have property? You're going to let these people own property? You're going to let it pass down to their kids? You're going to let them take loans off that property to more empower themselves? I mean, this sounds a lot like capitalism. I don't know if you're actually in favor of that. I really have to wonder, what is it about? Like, it's one of these weird situations where I've never heard a liberal explain why they don't like BlackRock buying up family homes. Are they in favor of private property? Are they in favor of intergenerational wealth? Are they in favor of any of these things? That would be news to me. Do they just understand this is like a popular thing to jump on? I don't really know. I know why I don't like BlackRock buying up all the family homes. Because it's part of a global push to make everything impermanent. Because in the same way that they want to buy up all the homes, they want to buy up all the cars, and they want to buy up everything. They want you to own nothing. Not because they're greedy, not because they want your money, but because they want control. The left doesn't really care about control. The left wants control. The left thinks the problem is a lack of control. So again, I'll ask, like, why is the left against what BlackRock is doing? What is it about Blackstone or any of these private equity companies buying up neighborhoods? Like, what are they against? I've never heard them elucidate it. And this is what I'm talking about. The muffle that's on the left, it's like, well, they're greedy, therefore it's bad. Well, they're using it to squeeze more money out of people. Okay, true. Not the ultimate goal here. Clearly, not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to destroy capitalism. The ultimate goal is to destroy ownership, to destroy private property, to destroy your ability to pass on your wealth to your children, to destroy the family structure in and of itself, to destroy all of the things that make you strong and capable of withstanding pressure, of withstanding corruption, of standing on your own and resisting the push of manufactured consent. I've explained this, a million times, right? I can sort of offend anybody because at the end of the day, I've got a family, I've got kids. They're going to love me. They understand me. They're not going to cast me out. So why would I care about what any of these other people say? I'll stand up against them. I'll take the unpopular position because at the end of the day, they're not going to rob my family from me. So what's the risk? When you have property, when you've invested in something, when you have something to, you know, work on and improve, the just psychological element of that is so powerful to rip that away to where you own nothing, to where you are just sort of flitting through on a bunch of subscriptions. It's this, you know, paradigm of the company store. It's what they're creating. And again, it's like you go, I went on Reddit the other day, and one of the top things was from the PC subreddit, and it's talking about how NVIDIA now is talking about limiting your ability to use their chips even after you buy them. NVIDIA puts 100-hour monthly limit on all GeForce Now subscriptions. NVIDIA has announced that starting on January 1st, 2026, each GeForce Now cloud gaming subscription will be limited to 100 hours of playtime per month. The company is implementing its long-lasting promise revealed in 2024 with the option for users to purchase additional playtime as needed. Okay, so in the same way that you aren't going to own a house, you also aren't going to own your video games, you aren't going to own your media, you aren't going to own your phone, you aren't going to own your car. Oh, you'll own nothing. This is a, you know, global push to eradicate ownership itself. But you think it's about making money. It ain't about making money. They have literally all of the money. Okay? BlackRock has trillions of dollars, just got unfettered access to America's retirement funds. They don't need more money. They're not going for money. They're going for control. It's about crushing the human spirit, crushing your ability to resist them, crushing your ability to build up in any way, build up your personal wealth, build up your political following, build up your independence. No, no, no. You have to be a bug. You have to be a bug that's entirely reliant on all of these various systems controlled by your enemies that you have to get permission to exist from. It's about the mark of the beast. Now, I don't know how we're going to get people that can't understand the difference between men and women to understand the sophisticated operation that's depriving them of property and therefore depriving them of freedom. These are esoteric, you know, highfalutin concepts that I have a hard time wrapping my mind around. I don't expect people from the videos that we just saw to ever be able to grapple with this reality. So let's go to clip number 8. This is the reality around You Will Own Nothing and Be Happy. This is the reality behind why BlackRock or Blackstone is buying up houses, why private equity is being allowed to just systematically destroy every industry they get their hands on. This is why. It's not about money. It's about control. Money is just a method, a weapon, a tool they use. It's not the goal. It's not their end goal. It's not what they want. What they want is your abject submission, is your inability to even conceive of a world where you are not entirely dependent on them for everything. Let's watch.
Listen up. Do y'all remember that video the World Economic Forum put out that you will own nothing and you'll be happy? Let me show you some things you probably haven't realized because we're already there, y'all. Y'all remember when we used to have CDs and tapes? Now you have to pay a subscription every month to listen to your music. Not only that, but you have to pay a subscription to watch television. Do you have a Ring doorbell? You're paying a subscription for that too. Most of you with gaming systems are paying a subscription to play games. You're paying subscriptions for software like Microsoft. Do y'all remember when we had printers and we didn't have to pay subscriptions for those? Well, now you do. We have ebooks that you have to pay for subscriptions for. This is all for control. Because if they don't like what you're reading or what you're listening to or what you're watching, they can cut it off. Back in 2009, Amazon erased the Orwell books from Kindle. Y'all remember that guy that said this same thing was going to happen? How many of y'all own a house? How many of y'all think your children will ever own a house? With the housing market as it is, I wouldn't bet on it. Y'all remember when cars were affordable? Not only that, but do you remember when car insurance was affordable? Because I do. It was about 10 years ago. Now I'm paying $300 a month, and I've only been in one wreck in my entire life. Looks like that ride sharing will come in handy soon. But back to the housing market. Gen Z is renting, not buying. Here's what it means for the country's future. Yes, more people are having to rent homes. And guess who owns a majority of them? BlackRock. Oh, and back to cars. You know they have subscriptions for those too now. One day it'll be in all cars, and guess what? If you do something they don't like, they'll cut your car off. John Deere has a digital lockdown. We're on the verge of this being a complete reality, and everybody's just letting it happen because their favorite person is in office, even though he's building a digital prison all around us.
Yeah, no, that's completely accurate. So again, I wish we could team up with liberals. We have these forces of evil that are so clearly dedicated to our destruction. But you have to be able to see the whole shooting match. You have to be able to see this the way that they see this, the way that your enemies see this. Again, we can go on and on about how everything the left does just plays right into the hands of their enemies. But, you know, it's everything. You think the billionaires hate immigration? Really? You think billionaires are desperate to stop you from enacting climate change agenda regulations? They're the ones pushing it. What are you doing? So you can, you know, pretend to be against billionaires. You serve their interests endlessly. You can pretend to be against BlackRock buying up houses, but actually, ideologically, you're completely in favor of that. What do they not understand? Anything. Right, anything. No, they don't understand anything. I think that's actually the problem. I think that's actually what we're learning. And I hate to say it, but Trump is absolutely playing into their hands in a lot of different ways that's very infuriating. And again, I see basically all of this happening in a variety of different ways, but all at once and all towards the same end. And it's, you know, tied in directly with Palantir and the global surveillance grid. Did I go to the Palantir thing yet? Let's go to, guys, do you know which the Palantir video is? Clip number 40. Here's clip number 40. This, again, all tied in together. It's about creating a single unified database that will be run by AI that will be monitoring and surveilling everybody all the time, as the World Economic puts it, even under your skin, right? Your brain waves, your eye line, the expression that you make when you read certain news on the phone. All of this will be fed into a giant AI that is the beast system that will determine whether or not you are worthy of taking advantage of the, you know, temporary access to cars or temporary access to housing that they can withdraw at any moment because you own nothing, because you've been seduced into this by thinking that you're fighting white supremacy by giving power over to the most heartless and evil people the world has ever seen. Here's one way the Palantir is already being implemented across the country as a primary function of this this apparatus. Let's watch.
How many people have seen a police program that's being used called Palantir? It is in your police officer's car on your police officer's computer. So while you've got the person pulled over, you can start to drill down on this person. It's not just like a DMV photo and an NCIC anymore. You can see all their bank accounts, the balance in their bank accounts, the last times they declared cash somewhere. You can see every time they hit a Flock camera anywhere in the country. Flock is a giant national traffic monitoring system that is basically everywhere now. And they're taking photographs at every intersection all day. And it's using AI to like read license plates and put identities of people, places. And it's just keeping all that data, like all of it. That's what they've got in their car right now. And we're not getting that in discovery. We're not able to confront it. And we're not able to use it as Brady evidence. We've got Fourth Amendment issues galore, obviously. I didn't realize how prevalent it was. There has never been a surveillance program in the history of the United States that was not used brutally and in a corrupt fashion. And now we have the biggest surveillance system that we've ever had.
And it's only being expanded. So again, it wouldn't even be that big of a deal if the powers that be prove themselves trustworthy at all. But if there's one thing that Smalley fraud saga has taught us, it's that despite having massive surveillance, despite having incredible access to information from absolutely anybody at any time, they choose not to actually punish the real criminals. Now, if you don't file the IRS down to the penny, they'll come after you. Meanwhile, some random warehouse in the middle of Minnesota is receiving millions of dollars a month for children that don't even exist. So understand that the people implementing these programs, they already have enough surveillance to actually solve a lot of the crimes that exist in this country, and they are not using it for that. They're using it to censor and surveil you and me and people who have never committed a crime, while the criminals are making out like bandits. So understand like where we're at this point. Nobody is coming to save us, and nobody is stopping this, and the liberals don't even understand the thing that they're fighting because they're actually contributing to it as much as they possibly could.
I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and then Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Ember Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustain energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6 and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it unlimited power. I remember Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better, and, you know, for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong. Tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexshowstore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four straight ahead.
These surveillance videos are from a case prosecuted by Hennepin County. They show parents checking their kids into a center only to leave with them a few minutes later. Sometimes no children would show up. But either way, the center would bill the state for a full day of child care. This video from that same case shows a man handing out envelopes of what are believed to be kickback payments to parents who are in on the fraud.
Where was the money going?
I don't know exactly where it went.
While Soros judges continue to spit at justice for the Somalian fraud piracy that has escalated across the United States for years,
she acknowledges in her order that fraud was rampant in this case, and it was clearly out of control. She couldn't believe the level to which fraud was allowed to be able to be perpetrated. And then it comes to bear that she lets him off because she felt as though somebody else should have been to blame that wasn't the owner of the company.
And the worthless dinosaur media psyop plays their loaded deck of race cards.
The Somali immigrant population may have been involved in some way. Those people are being scapegoated, and that community is being scapegoated in a way that certainly serves the far right.
Now, listen to where this phone number goes to when you call this child care center.
Thank you for contacting the office of Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
You don't even need to get on a plane to investigate. You can do it from your computer. I tried it out myself, and lo and behold.
Thank you for contacting the office of Governor Tim Walz and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
In Washington State, 539 of about 5,000 licensed care centers are Somali-run, many lacking a physical address and some posting that they are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I called many of them, and it simply went to generic voicemail.
Please leave your message for 425. Please leave your message for 20. All has been forwarded to voicemail. The person you're trying to reach is not available.
The fraud has found safe harbor in Democratic strongholds across the United States in many forms.
Gateway was billing for services they did not provide and billing for services that MainCare does not cover. DHHS also confirmed to us how much MainCare paid Gateway between the years of 2019 and 2024. It's about $4 to $5 million each year, a total of more than $28 million. And this third audit falls right in the middle of that time frame.
The company's founder and CEO, Abdullahi Ali, Somali-American, who while at the time serving as executive director for Gateway, last year ran for president, which is essentially governor of Jubaland, a state in Somalia's south of borders Kenya.
Christopher, how long had this been going on? You were at Gateway for quite some time. How long do you think this has been going on, this fraud?
It was there from 2018 to recently 2025. And I hadn't realized about the audit that had been completed in 2018. So before I even got there, they were complicit in some of this stuff.
My name is John Featherston. I'm a former migrant shelter director in Massachusetts. I helped out in a couple different sites. Everything is free.
How much is given for rides for Uber and Lyft?
The amount of money that we would spend on Ubers and Lyft was well in excess of $100,000 a month.
Month?
So these individuals tried to report the fraud that was happening in Ohio and then eventually came to me to say that we're watching providers. So you could sit at home without caring for an elderly parent who really doesn't need it, make about $75,000 to $90,000 a year. Now you add two parents, that's $180,000. Now you add your in-laws, $250,000. You continue to add this and you wonder, what are the services being provided? So a lot of providers came and said, fraud is occurring because we said we weren't going to rubber stamp this paperwork, so they went to other providers. Their home health care network saying, we'll make it worth your while. Well, sounds like a kickback to me.
What if the whole reason Tim Walz was chosen because he had access to all these billions of dollars in fraud and the Kamala Harris campaign knew it?
If you have specific evidence or concerns about fraud in programs like Medicaid, welfare, SNAP, housing, or federal aid, you can report anonymously to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of the Inspector General at the internet address on your screen, or you can call 1-800-HHS-TIPS, 1-800-447-8477. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. Remember, you support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, it's buy one, get one free on supplements, and you can buy a cheap supplement, get an expensive one free. It's that type of sale. It ends tomorrow, December 30th. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air and in the fight and getting the great guests that we do. I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Casey Putch, at Casey Putch, PutchForOhio.com. An Ohio native, nationally recognized automotive entrepreneur, race driver, and founder of the nonprofit Genius Garage, where he mentors young talent in engineering and design. Frustrated with globalist policies and H-1B visa abuse, he's stepped up as America First alternative to the Republican primary, against Vivek Ramaswamy for governorship of Ohio. Again, you can follow him on X at Casey Putch. Thank you so much for joining me, Mr. Putch.
You got it. Thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure, and I'm very glad that you agreed to join us. I've been watching your campaign with extreme interest. Tell us about yourself. How did you get started? Why do you think you're best for the governorship?
Well, so politics has become very interesting to me, especially since the Biden administration, when I'm just watching the entirety of our culture fall apart, be divided, and just leveraged for political gain for all the wrong reasons. Obviously, I supported President Trump. Spoke out publicly using my own platform last year for that to happen. But in the last year, I'm seeing things just in general across the board that are horrific. One of those being Vivek Ramaswamy, who from everything I can tell is only a globalist Trojan horse. And simply the thought and the decision to run against him in the Republican primary for the governor of Ohio is because for me, the pain of inaction outweighed the risk and pain of action.
Mm. And Vivek he's an interesting case because for a while he was saying all the right stuff. He was this big champion of the MAGA side. And then it was around this time last year, it was Christmas last year, where he made this fateful post where he's basically insulting American culture. He's really never recovered, but they're still pushing him quite a bit. I mean, what is it about Vivek Ramaswamy that makes you say he's a globalist Trojan horse?
Well, that's pretty simple. You know, this is a guy that, obviously his parents weren't from here. They're from India. Okay. He was born in Cincinnati, I guess. You know, he didn't go to college in Ohio. He went to Harvard and Yale, got a Soros family money scholarship. He has no businesses in Ohio. He's, despite his great wealth, he has done no philanthropic work in Ohio, nothing to better the state. So that throws up a lot of red flags for me. And then if you just watch him over time, of course, when he was running for president a couple of years ago, you know, basically took all of Donald Trump's talking points, bows out early, obviously not polling well at all, supports him the whole way, gets appointed to do Doge with Elon, which I have to say, for all of us watching, probably the most important thing that could happen with the government to get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse, and bring the nation forward. But when we get towards the inauguration, things seem weird. He sort of vanished and can't tell if he quit or got booted out or what on earth happened. And then suddenly he's getting shoved in Ohio for like the possibility of governor, an AstroTurf like crazy. That's when I started going, no way, this is not right. This is a person who cares nothing about our culture. He shows no roots in Ohio whatsoever, no relatability in any way. He's done nothing for the state. And of course, me being a car guy and somebody who's cared with family that's worked hard with family businesses their whole life, with military and the family going back to the 1800s, we're all people that are Ohio. We've worked hard and had to be responsible for it. And I see none of those qualities reflected in Vivek. And of course, his Christmas crash out last year where he went on a thing saying, it's not that Americans have a low IQ or lazy, but your culture sucks and you watch Saved by the Bell and Boy Meets World. And it's like, you know, okay, people say dumb things. Gosh, I've been an automotive YouTuber. I'm sure I've said plenty of dumb things. So give him a little bit of credit, but you watch him over time and go like, this is a mean, vindictive nerd with too much money that hates us. You know, I guess my only message I got to say is, you know, when my parents were working darn hard at our family business when I was a kid and I was watching TV on the antenna, I watched Saved by the Bell too. But, you know, I built a 100-mile-plus-gallon car, built a nonprofit educational program, mentored college students for the last decade plus, getting them incredible jobs everywhere from Lockheed Martin to the Big Three, with no help from the government or any kind. And heck, building a little watch business now. And heck, this watch right here, our prototype meets all the NASA requirements for the Artemis missions. And I'm just looking around going, screw you, Vivek. We're Americans. We're trying to make the future better. You know, I feel like we're in the original Star Wars movie where we fell down the garbage compactor and the walls are closing in on us. And now here's Vivek coming in, who clearly just wants to facilitate more of these data centers that are being slipped in under the cover of night, that we're subsidizing the cost of them through massive electricity bills. They have massive tax abatements. There's no net gain for the state at all. And he's obviously a big proponent of H-1B visas from India. And then saying that we don't have smart enough people in the United States and smart enough people in Ohio, so they have to import Indians? Well, one, you're going to destroy the job market because the big companies know they can pay them less. I mean, shoot, just ask Grok how much money Tesla might even save with H-1Bs, and Grok will calculate that for you. But the other thing that does is it destroys the job market because now companies don't have to pay the Americans as much either. So everything I see about Vivek Ramaswamy coming through ahead, when you just look at it objectively over time and just comparison to me, what's a relatively normal Ohio guy trying hard to make the future better, and all I see is a globalist Trojan horse that's going to ruin our future.
Well, and it sort of represents this major split in the Republican Party right now. So I'd love your take on that and how we patch this up. I mean, obviously this really, you know, came to the fore during the TPUSA AmFest last week, where it almost seemed like it was split down the middle, and you had the speakers kind of arguing with each other speech after speech, where you've got the Vivek Ramaswamys and the Ben Shapiros. And I guess the argument is like the creedal nation versus the people of the nation. Can you talk a little bit on that and the future for MAGA and the Republican Party, and how do we bridge this gap, or should we even bridge it, or do we need a new party or something? Just talk on that a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you something I don't think anybody's thinking about right now. There's no split. Republicans, everybody's still on the rails. America's still on the rails. Conservatives and our values are still on the rails. And, you know, I'm going to go a little bit of a sidebar. Everybody talks about the uniparty. Two wings of the same disgusting bird, right? Very two-dimensional picture, very bleak. But if you flip that over, you learn something. There is no left or right. I mean, people have far more in common than they have apart. So with regard to the conservative side, with regard to this so-called rift, it's a takeover. It's a hostile takeover. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to group people into, they're trying to corral them. Because if you can corral them, it's easier to pick them off. So I think that's what's happening, frankly. Because if you look at who's on both camps, forget about all the rhetoric, forget about the propaganda, forget about the labeling. you realize all there are solid conservative value Americans that are standing up and fighting for tomorrow that are taking an onslaught from those seeking to control it and take it over. So for me, you know, I've always been a Republican, always had those great conservative values brought to me from my families for generations of working hard and fighting for the nation. And it's simple. I see that being hostily taken over, and Vivek represents that to me. And that's why I'm here simply fighting in the Republican primary to get rid of them and right. save Ohio.
Well, and how would you do that? How would you go about saving Ohio? Because we've heard, obviously, the Somalia fraud in Minnesota is huge. A lot of talk about it being just as big in Ohio. I mean, you've got company bigger. Okay. Well, you've got companies offshoring while simultaneously bringing in H-1B visas. Like, what would you do as governor? What levers do you have to pull to stop the dispossession of Americans?
Well, what's going on is horrific. You know, the first thing is very simple. Earn some trust back. Because right now, America has zero trust in our leadership and politicians. Frankly, I don't either. And that's why I'm here. So that's the first thing. Being a real person, take the slings and arrow, yeah, but keep marching and earn some trust back. The next thing is, like, what are you about? It's simple. I care specifically about the people of Ohio, period. What is objectively in the best interest of the people of Ohio? Because the state only exists because it has people. We are that great resource. And secondly, our land. So everything that we're going to do and look at, from the issues with data centers, H-1B, potential Somali-related daycare center, waste, fraud, and abuse. I mean, waste, fraud, and abuse across the board must be researched, looked at, and attacked. But really, it comes down to all of the policies are what is in the best interest of the people and their future, to be able to build a family, to build a community, believe that you have a tomorrow, believe that you can actually afford a home, and that your children will be able to have a home, and you have a clear runway to build a business and to build industry and a better tomorrow, and not just have people where it's very clear that it's all hands out, robbing everybody blind with the walls closing in. And that's everything I see that's happening, all the hot button issues, everything that relates to Vivek and is mirrored in what Vivek seemingly wants to do, is just all of the ways that we are being destroyed in every way possible.
Being torn apart, a thousand cuts. But obviously, as you point out, I mean, there's this uniparty. The Republican Party establishment itself is, you know, clearly not on our side, not on you or I's side,
correct,
not on the side of the American people. How are they treating your run for governor? Have they been treating you nicely? And if you win the appointment, are they going to back you up? I mean, they clearly put all their eggs in the Vivek basket. They must not like you very much. How's that been?
Oh, they've been quiet, too quiet, which means they're probably panicking. Okay. I'm guessing they don't even know what's going on, and because they're completely out of touch with reality. They're out of touch with the people. They're going, is he a leftist plant? Yeah, no. I've been a Republican since the late 90s, unlike Vivek, who only became one in the last few years. So it's time for them to pull their head out of their south side and look around and see what the people actually want. Because at the end of the day, the American government is supposed to be for the people and by the people. We, the people, are not happy, because what's going on is not in the best interest of the people. And, it stems to money, you know. We're all very happy that Donald got in, man. All so behind that, making that happen last year. The thought of a Kamala presidency, not good. You know, we all went to bat for that. And it's really exciting. So everybody got excited, want to push Vivek too. But he's been out there too long. He's stale bread. You know, the veneer has worn off, and the emperor has no clothes. And the people are revolting. So the difficulty is the Ohio GOP is in a difficult position. Everybody endorsed him way, way, way too soon. So they're going to need to stay quiet. Now, I will tell you this. Since Christmas, the GOP in Ohio and some other people have turned off the comments on their Twitter, because all the people of Twitter are lighting them up so hard since I've come out. Because the contrast of me being an Ohioan that actually cares shines the brightest light on all the cracks in Vivek and what he really stands about. So there's a tangible thing going on there. I do see a war coming to Ohio. This is of national interest. I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime. Everybody looking at it's going, oh my gosh, did you go right in the middle of it? So this is genuinely a fight for America, American values wholeheartedly, and the globalists. And there's a number of fronts to this war coming quickly. So I've got amazing people behind me, amazing support from all of the public, actually all over the nation. And so we are positioning ourselves for what's to come. And, frankly, I'm risking everything. This is insanely dangerous. I'm a car guy. I'm not a billionaire, but here we go.
Yeah. Well, and it's incredible to see the success that you're having. Of course, I see a lot of similarities between yourself and James Fishback in Florida, running also for the governorship against, Byron Donalds, there. I always get his name wrong. And it seems like almost in a way, it's like because the Republican Party is so controlled and because of the way politics has been for a long time, somebody who's going to rise up to challenge them, we're almost forced to have the best people. Like I've noticed with James Fishback, especially, it's like they're used to this world where everybody's corrupt. So they've all got dirt on each other and they can, you know, manipulate people and change it. But then you've got people like yourself and James Fishback where if an accusation comes out, you're just like, well, here I am. What's the accusation? Here's all the proof you need. Like, what else can I do for you? Nothing. Goodbye. You know, or like, yeah, I like trains. That's what's in my background. Like, do all the research you want.
You saw that.
I did. Yeah. So it's sort of in a way, it's like we're being forced to just have the best of the best people who are totally uncorrupt, who have nothing in their background, because anything less than that and they'll be destroyed by the system or by the establishment. So it's like in a way they've almost forced us to be better than we would have to be otherwise.
Absolutely. You know, it comes to a point where there comes a point where certain men will not be able to stand idly by anymore. You know, I'm not one ever to talk on behalf of the man upstairs, but all I can tell you is before I decided to come out, this is something I've been thinking of for years. My soul was burning. It was on fire. And I thought about it and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to live and not do this. And I won't recite it now or read, but there's a bit of a little speech or poem and it's entitled The Men Who Just Wanted to Be Left Alone.
Right.
And when we get to the point where the men who just wanted to be left alone are pushed to this point, heaven help the people who go against them.
Yeah, well, it's almost like I wish that the government would just do what's necessary, just bring back basic law and order so we aren't forced to, like, you know, have to defend ourselves. But it seems like the DOJ is just totally lacking. Comments on that?
Well, let me tell you something terrifying. So one of the things in my policy and platform that's hugely important to me is bringing back law. And one thing I despise is lawfare. The sense of millionaires and billionaires can just manipulate anybody and lawfare them into non-existence. That basically goes to show for a normal person like me and so many other people, or even if you have less means, law is not going to count to you the same. So big things on that. But a tweet from Vivek Ramaswamy today, I think is terrifying. Everyone should be absolutely terrified of what Vivek wrote. And it was simply fact check, true. And in parentheses, he writes, friendly note to those trying to push defamatory lies. Save your records and don't delete them. Happy New Year's in advance. Whoa. And he shares something about people writing nice things about him. If that's not a thinly veiled threat, I don't know what is. So little old me with only like 30 some thousand followers to his 3 million, I wrote this. Ohio should not have to live with a governor who sues dissenting voices. This is America and we believe in free speech. At this point, we just don't like you. And I have the receipts to show that. Reject Vivek, vote push. And it was fun because I ratioed the heck out of him. But that's absolutely terrifying. He's in a position now where he's feeling so threatening that this, to me, it feels like a thinly veiled threat that he's just going to start suing people. And I go, oh my God, what's that mean for me? I'm thinking, okay, I'm on a hit list somewhere already. This is not cool. This is not America. This is not acceptable. And the GOP, hey, that's your boy. Figure it out.
So let me see if I get this right. So I think Vivek posted that about somebody commenting on maybe his old business, how he got his money. But basically, I wouldn't even say it's a thinly veiled. I mean, it's a threat to sue, right? He's basically saying,
absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, if you're speaking out against me, I'm going to sue you.
Yeah. So what's that mean for me? I work for a living. I don't have all this and all these attorneys. Like, I now have the people behind me, and that's amazing. But my God. You know, his net worth raised, what, $800 million in the last less than a year just because he's out there perpetually politically campaigning? What the heck has he ever done for the people of Ohio? And now he's threatening to sue anybody who doesn't like him? Meanwhile, he's going on, AmFest and writing, authoring op-eds in the New York Times that's just basic leftist propaganda that if you don't like Vivek, that's because you're a racist Nazi piece of crap because he's Indian. Well, no, Vivek, we don't like you because you've never done anything for people in Ohio. We don't think you're doing anything for America. You're worth a silly amount of money. You're out of touch. You look down your nose at everybody and we think you hate us. Well, guess what? I'm Casey Push and I don't hate Ohio. I care only about the people in Ohio. And if it's the end of me, I will stand up to this. And I hope everybody else does too, because it's not right.
No, you're exactly right. Maybe that'd be a good motto, is like, you know, Casey Push, the man who just wanted to be left alone, right? It's like, we didn't want this, but here we are. We have to confront it. And again, it's sort of, I guess the H-1B visa topic really distills this whole conflict down into its basic parts, right? Is the GDP more important than the people? Are we so incapable of training our own people to fill these jobs? Do we really have to sell out to these other countries? Because Vivek says it, but Trump says it too. He's also pushing the H-1B visas. This really is like the litmus test, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is something that I will go absolutely nuclear, full mag dump from the hip, tracer fire minigun on, because for the last 11 years of my life, I have mentored college students in engineering design. And these young people, because of what I did in just conjunction with their education, have unbelievable jobs everywhere from Tesla to GM, Ford, Marathon, starting their own businesses, even Tesla. I've had no support from the public. I've not gotten paid. I have so many hours in it that I got a lifetime achievement award in education from President Trump in his first administration. I got one even from the Biden administration, which honestly, I'm pretty proud of, because I'm probably the only straight white man ever to get an accolade from Biden.
That's incredible.
Lastly, thank you. That's funny, right? I was so honored. I was honored to get to fly with the United States Air Force Thunderbirds also because of my work there. And so when I hear President Trump, the leader of our nation, our representative, you know, forget about Vivek. He's no one's leader. He's just hoping and trying to con everybody into voting for him. But when I hear Donald Trump, a man who I supported so much, I've been harshly critical, but I've also supported him tremendously. When I hear him say, we don't have smart enough people. Whoa there, pal. I with no support built an over 100-mile-a-gallon diesel car that out accelerates my Dodge Viper and has a lower carbon footprint per mile than an EV when you consider national charging and, you know, the pollution offset of that. And I've got these brilliant young people that are putting together ex-professional racing cars. We're building airplanes in short amount of time and getting incredible jobs. And there's no support for it. And these young people come from our American educational system with federal student loans that can't be defaulted on. That a 17-year-old kid could take out a $100,000 loan, maybe to go into a major that has no jobs, so that we can rob the future wealth of the nation and go to the black hole that's academia? I know for a fact we have all the brightest people here in America because I've been mentoring them with no support from anybody for the last 11 years. But I got a pretty plaque on the wall. Got a couple of them, but that doesn't buy you a cup of coffee or keep the lights on. So, yes, I 100% not only take it personally, but I professionally will combat any time that's said. If any politician says America doesn't have the brightest and best young people that we need to get behind, that we need to help for the future, they are lying to you, period. There is nothing else to that.
Powerful stuff. I completely agree. And of course, it's doubly insulting when you hear that the very same companies that are apparently importing visas by, you know, importing H-1B visa holders by the tens of thousands are, Microsoft $75 billion into training in India. It's like, you can't do that training here. It's just clearly they are siphoning money away from us, sending their jobs overseas, bringing people from overseas to go to school here. So it's like, in school, we're discriminated against. In hiring, we're discriminated against. And then you've got half of the country telling us that we deserve it. And, you know, we're lucky it's not worse than it is. It's completely outrageous. Can you stay for the next segment? You stay for the whole hour?
I am all yours, sir.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. Casey Push is my guest. I hope I'm saying that right. Am I pronouncing your name right?
It's Push, like put your money where your mouth is.
Put your money where your mouth is. Perfect. That's P-U-T-S-C-H, P-U-T-S-C-H for Ohio.com, all spelled out. Push for Ohio. Casey Push on X. And we'll be back on the other side to talk about this more, go through his platform, including what we were talking about earlier with the fact that BlackRock and Blackstone is buying up all these houses and is making houses unaffordable. And the socialists not only don't have a solution for this, they're actively contributing to the problem. So we'll get into that and what a governor can do to combat all of these forces systematically bankrupting America. Stay tuned, folks. It's the War Room, InfoWars.com. Stay tuned.
Let me tell you about this. Our sponsor, Bigly, and the products they have at theelectionstore.com are whatever the highest source, best quality, highest rated products are, we go out and private label them, and in some cases, soup them up and make them even better. So we did a year ago a survey, what do listeners want? And you wanted methylene blue, you wanted beef tallow that Kennedy talks about, which I know is great for cooking and is so much better for you than seed oils, and you wanted high-quality Shilajit. We brought you all the best. They've sourced the best. This is so heavy. This is so huge. Tiny little scoop of this with whatever you're cooking makes it taste so great, whether it's potatoes, whether it's eggs, whatever you're cooking. Beef tallow is so delicious. This is concentrated beef tallow, private label from the top ones in the country. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients. Unlike seed oils, which are fake toxic garbage, beef tallow is real food that promotes whole body health. Get 25% off now when you become a subscriber today and then lock in a bigger discount. You can cancel any time for free at alexjonesstore.com. Beef tallow has been all the rage. It's what the listeners asked for. We've got the best for you right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And separately, creatine of the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligram gummies, huge container of them. Look into neurological studies, Alzheimer's, you name it. It's so good for young people, old people. Everybody needs it. Got it, 2 flavors, thealexjonesstore.com. And it's your funding of this operation that makes it all possible. I need your support. I am funded by you. I am supported by you. And I'm battling the Democrat Party law firms that have been trying to shut us down, and we've been winning thanks to your support. But it takes money to fight this war. So don't wait. Get our creatine gummies. Get the new incredible beef tallow. Just as amazing or more is the bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks from cow's milk is the ultimate combo of super nutrients. You name it, for your immune system, your clarity, your focus, your hair, your skin, your nails. It's crazy. These are the best products. These are amazing. They will change your life. TheAlexShowStore.com. And if you're going to buy anything there, become a VIP. $30 a month. Cancel anytime for free. The minute you become a VIP in your profile, you get $40 to spend instantly, making $10. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at TheAlexShowStore.com, become a VIP. Cancel anytime. TheAlexShowStore.com. Thank you for standing with us. We'll never back down, never give in, but we could give out without your support. So you are the reason we're still here, and I thank you and salute you for it. TheAlexShowStore.com.
Welcome to TheAlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate Sea Moss or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts. Perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Power up today.
Function ultimate.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're tuned in to the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined today by candidate for governor of Ohio, Casey Putsch. You can follow him on X at Casey Putsch. That's CaseyPutsch and PutschForOhio.com. Now, I was going through your platform on your website, PutschForOhio.com. And I obviously perfectly agree with everything you list out here, but I really love seeing two things in particular: making housing affordable, and then you have the right to repair. So just before you came on, we were doing a segment about the fact that it's not just BlackRock, Blackstone, these big private equity companies buying up houses so that you'll own nothing and be happy, as the World Economic Forum puts it, but they don't want you to own your phone. They don't want you to own your car. They don't want you to own anything, really. And that ties into the right to repair and the fact that you don't own the thing that you bought. They can put limiters on, even to the point now where cars are, they have horsepower that you can't access without paying a monthly fee. It's absurd. So talk to us about the right to repair and sort of the reason why this is such an important thing. It's not really just about being able to, you know, fix your tractor, right? It's a really deeper reorganization of society that these people are attempting.
You're exactly right. It's hugely paramount. You know, obviously I'm a car guy. I work on all my own stuff, buy older cars that have depreciated and I can maintain them. You know, got a toolbox, know how to use it. I think we need shop class back, frankly. And it's just hugely important to be able to look after your own stuff, because right to repair is not just limited to difficulties we've heard about with farmers. And if I'm not mistaken, it was John Deere. There was a big hubbub about that, to where, you know, you got a farmer out with a combine or tractor, you're out in the field, and you got to get this stuff done right now because of weather and what's going on with harvest. And then suddenly something breaks down, and just because it's some stupid computer you can't access, suddenly you can't get to a dealer, nobody comes in, and it's going to cost a fortune. It's wrecking farmers. That's stupid. You know, last time I checked, in the United States of America, personal property is hugely important. You have to be able to be a master of your own life and your destiny. So, you know, I had heard people say, I say this, you can pry my sports cars and my firearms out of my cold, dead hands, because this is freedom. And it's the freedom for you to be able to look after your future and maintain your own stuff. So that comes down to anything: cars, tractors. You're a farmer. You know, can you work on your own phone? Can you replace the battery? Can you work on your bicycle? Can you fix your own house? They want to take all those things away because it's just another way to simply take all the money from people, all the wealth from a nation's future, but most importantly, have full control over you. Because if they get to the point where you can't afford to own anything because you can't even fix it anymore, well, then you're going to own nothing and like it. Well, we don't like it. We see it coming, and we're going to fight against it, period, first and foremost. And if for no other reason, I'm a car guy and I can't afford the new fancy cars. I've never bought a new car in my life. But I can have darn nice things and fix it with my own two hands because I got a toolbox and I can control my own destiny. And, you know, maybe not everybody's going to do that, and that's okay. But I will forever fight to the death for the right of every American and Ohioan to be able to own their stuff and repair their own stuff. So very, very important to me. There's nothing else to it than that. It's kind of like Second Amendment. Shall not be infringed is very clear.
Yeah.
With regard to homes. So that's a terrifying scenario as well. You know, what we've seen since 2020 are things that happen in the market that just shouldn't happen. You know, loans from people, immigrants, illegal immigrants flooding the market where there's not enough houses, but things are being happened so we can't even build new houses easily. Yeah, it very smells of orchestration, but in a big level to make this happen. But, you know, if you just look at it from a simpler perspective and you've got corporations and private equity companies buying tons of private homes, well, when they come on the market, they got the power to just offer a little bit more, So outcompete everybody. Doesn't take very long before they have massive portfolios. And see, what happens in the housing market is the same thing I have seen done in the classic car market or the exotic car market. In the exotic car market, you might have somebody that they're the authority on some fancy car, maybe from a particular country or a particular market. It's very collectible. And this is something I saw done back when I was looking at, all of a sudden, you know, an older collectible model from a car every year, a new one would double in price. That's kind of weird. Well, if you buy up a bunch of a particular kind of car and you hoard them all, there's no regulation on that with cars. And then you can just simply auction one off publicly and maybe some friends of yours pays a new world record price for it, then changing the market. And then you already own all the cars, so your stuff's worth more and you can manipulate a market. Same kind of thing happens with housing. And that's terrible, because that is one thing and one thing only. That is robbing the future from Americans, that is robbing the future from our children to ever be able to afford a home, and just one more step in the slippery slope of you will own nothing and like it. And it's simply unacceptable.
Absolutely. And of course, this is somewhere where there is overlap between the left and the right. I don't know anybody that I talk to on the right that is happy Blackstone is or BlackRock or any of these companies are able to buy up these houses. The left speaks out about this too. I always have a problem with the way the left speaks about it because they're strictly concerned about the money. That's what they think it's all about. I think it has more to do with control and the circumvention of our of restrictions on the government by going through private companies, right? If you don't own your home, then the company that owns your home can give access to your home to the police. They don't even need a warrant. They might have an agreement. Same way that they can access your information from big tech companies without a warrant because they have a portal with the big tech company to provide all the information because you don't own that information. It's on their servers. So to me, this is a lot more about circumventing the Bill of Rights and being able to access information without warrants or warrantless surveillance or, you know, seizing your papers without permission. That to me is what this is about. Do you agree with that, or do you think this is about money and that this is more of just, you know, capitalism unrestrained running wild?
I think this is a long-term evolution of a country, humanity, and systems. You know, I think the United States of America was put together beautifully. What an awesome nation. What an awesome structure and vision from our founding fathers. The difficulty is, though, we're in a time of human history that they didn't foresee.
Right.
You know, and if we just look at more and more ways of greed and corruption can eventually just keep working, finding new ways to death by a thousand cuts and wreck the future. Yeah, of course, that comes into play. The other thing that comes into play is, you know, basic game theory or the prisoner's dilemma. And I'll let you guys look it up. But if you think about the prisoner's dilemma, the thing that's in the best interest over the long term is for the prisoners not to snitch on each other. Mm. Which really explains the nature of how Washington, D.C. and the corruption in politics happen. When they're in long enough, eventually it's going to default to the prisoner's dilemma and they're not going to snitch on each other. And that's why, you know, term limits, things like that are very important. But in terms of the natural evolution and where we're at right now, I think in terms of our nation's history and human history, we're staring down the barrel of AI. You know, and that's somewhere where I become highly critical of, you know, our president, when all of a sudden I see them trying to slip unregulated AI into the big, beautiful bill, where states have no power to regulate that. What are we doing to protect people's likenesses, their voice, their image, their IP from AI that basically kind of, you know, is pilfering everything off the internet already? We're already at a point where AI is so good at making videos and photos that people don't even know what's real anymore. That is 1984 scary dystopian sci-fi stuff that we're talking about. And it's so powerful that we have an incredibly short time left. And I pray to God we have enough time left to do anything about it, that real soon it's going to be we will already be past the point of no return. And I just cannot, I cannot accept living in a world like that, where people no longer have the power and the control of our own future. Because where are we going?
Right.
What's the vision of humanity? What's the vision of the nation? Because all I see is authoritarian or totalitarian control and power coming through data and et cetera. So those things are very frightening and people should be absolutely terrified by it. And yet, and people are pushing back. We see it. They get it, young and old, especially the young. But some of these fights that have to happen, we have to stand up and we have to push back. You know, it wasn't very many years ago that if you said anything slightly off the narrative, you're canceled. Well, that's changed. Okay. But there's more things that we have to stand up tall against. And right now, that's why I'm running as a Republican in the primary against Vivek. From everything I can see, he only looks like a globalist Trojan horse here to facilitate more of this slippery slope of robbing everybody's future.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right about AI, and I don't wonder if we haven't passed that point of no return already, and especially when it comes to the government and whether it's even reformable at this point. I mean, help us make the case. Like, can we vote our way out of this? I mean, what do you do if you become governor and end up as the head of this bureaucracy that's so entrenched, whose practices are so sort of calcified that you find you can't even do anything because, you know, these bureaucracies run everything in reality. It seems like our system is so corrupt. It's almost like I want to burn it down and start over. But I also want to go back to the Constitution. It's like we need a revolution to get back where we were in the past. What do we do about this? Is it even possible? Like, what could you do as governor to rein some of this in? How would you go about, you know, getting control of these bureaucracies? And I'll tie this into what's happening in Minnesota. You say it's even worse, the fraud in Ohio. I mean, how do you even get a handle on that? If it's so many tens of billions of dollars, what do we do at this point? What can the government do to get us back on track?
A lot of good questions. So I'm going to see if I can get through it as well as I can. You know, if we're only going to answer the question, can we vote our way out of it? That alone, absolutely not. Because if all we do is sit down and vote, they're going to keep putting people in front of us. And all American politics will ever be is Plato's allegory of the cave. And I'm done being shackled looking at the doggone wall. So we have to do more than vote. We have to stand up. We have to represent. We have to risk it. We have to run. We, the people, have to do what the founding fathers intended. Become our government. Because at the end of the day, the United States, we all get the government we deserve. And I can tell you, we deserve so much more than what's being presented to us. We deserve so much more than what is being given and done to us. That's why I'm fighting. So what can I do? Well, it's simple. I thought about this. Would you crawl through hell just to make the future a little better for everybody you've ever cared about, to see all the beautiful culture that made you who you are, your state, your people, your community, have a tomorrow? Would you do it? Because I would. I'm doing it right now. And that's the first step. So simply, what can you do as governor? Be in touch with people. Know what's happening. Objectively understand what is right and wrong. What is in the best interest of the people of Ohio, first and foremost, and period. And act upon those things. Is there tremendous corruption at every level of government? Yes. Is it a horror show and will stifle you and push you back and knock you down? Yes. Is it probably basically hell on earth? Yes. But would you crawl through hell to make the future better for everything that made you you, everything you hold dear, and the hope for tomorrow for you, your children, your fellow man? I would.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you talk a lot about the future, and then I also notice in your writing, you talk a lot about the past. You talk about, you know, preserving cultural heritage sites and institutions and these sorts of things. Help us to sort of justify these two things, that to save our future, we have to stop destroying our past, and that, you know, you sort of talk about the what is the narrative that we're telling to people? Like, what is our future? What are we headed towards, I think is the way you put it. I know what the leftist narrative is. The leftist narrative is white man bad, you know, natives good. And if we, you know, everything was great until the white people came along and did colonialism to everybody. And we just have to destroy that and get back to. And it's a very compelling and apparently convincing narrative to a lot of people. And I don't see the right wing pushing our narrative with the same effectiveness. What do you put forward as the narrative about, you know, where we're coming from and where we're going and how we seize on our history to build a future? How do we do these things?
Well, first thing I want to point out is with regard to left and right, we are all Americans. At the end of the day, we're all people. We're all human beings with a brain and a heart. We all live here together and we want a good tomorrow. So we share that in common no matter what. And what I see on the left and even the right are just different flavors of control, manipulation, globalist BS. They just pick different flavors on different sides to put us against each other so that we are our own enemies when in fact we're not. We're all the same and they're the enemies. So it's understanding that. In regard to where it is, though, I find that conservative values, good conservative values, caring about your family, the nuclear family, the opportunity for a man to, or obviously woman and mankind to own their own stuff, to be able to work, to be able to see the reward of their work, to have a government that works in the best interest for the people so we can build a community and a culture and a nation, that's paramount. And I see those values more reflected with Republicans now. That's why I'm here, because this is where I think we can build the best tomorrow. But I see horrible things happening where we're being sold out incredibly quickly. That's why I'm here fighting. But the point that you made is history. Where does it matter? Now, obviously, on the left, they like to tear all that down and they like to divide us because of little differences between all of ourselves. But the fact of the matter, our history is what made us, all of us. We all just want to feel good about who we are as our individual self, as a nation. Our identity as a nation, to have one, to have a future, our own subcultures, yes. But there are so many incredible, beautiful things. You know, one time years ago, I sailed on a three-masted clipper ship from around the Netherlands, you know, the English Channel out to the Atlantic to Portugal and all that. And I was sick as can be. It was rough in the North Sea. It was November. Rough. North Sea is quite a dangerous place of sailing. And I couldn't sleep at all. I'm getting tossed around in my bunk at night. And I felt like I was strapped to a giant sea monster bounding through the ocean. And I say this because I couldn't sleep at all. It was terrible. And I thought, think about all the people that sailed from England, that sailed from Europe to build this nation, that fought untold hardship to get here. Horrific that nobody even thinks of. I mean, just that little experience there changed me to look back and think about what everybody fought for a better tomorrow. Behind me is a folded flag from my grandfather, Battle of Okinawa, World War II, landed there on Easter Sunday, 1945, sent my grandmother flowers when they were dating because he never thought he'd get to see tomorrow. You know, he got shot, came out with a Bronze Star. Another picture over that away was my great uncle, flew F-4 Phantoms in Vietnam and nuclear B-52s. You know, everything you see behind me reflects history of our nation. And these are the people who literally fought and watched their friends die so that we all can have a beautiful tomorrow in the United States. And I can be here to try to build a business, to try to help people out with my nonprofit. But here we are at a time where the walls are closing in on all of us economically, socially. Interests outside of the United States are dividing us to steal all the wealth away from a nation's future. And right now that battle is in Ohio. So we have to fight. We have to do it right because I don't want it to be time for the Second Amendment yet. Right. I believe that this nation is good and salvageable, and that's why I'm here.
If that hope isn't there, I mean, you know, the only option is to devolve into violence. And I've always said that's not even really an option because we know that the people in power in our country would immediately call for the UN and whoever else to come help, you know, put down the danger. So that's not even an option. So it's almost we have to find a way to do this through the appropriate systems. The problem, as I'm sure you know, is so many of our fellow Americans have been convinced that this doesn't matter. That, you know, talking about this stuff is, you know, just makes you a weirdo. Just like stop paying attention to that stuff. And so that's a thing I always have trouble with. And I don't know if you have an answer to this question, but I might as well ask it. We can tell people about this. How do we make them care? Like we can inform them that this is going on, but if they don't care, right, you can go, look, they're, you know, stealing billions of dollars and they don't seem to care. So like that I think is sort of an insurmountable obstacle to get over. We can present them with the information, but a lot of our fellow Americans are so brainwashed, they really don't care that we're being sold out. They really don't care that we're being destroyed. They really kind of like it. How do we break through to those people? How do you talk to these people that seem to genuinely hate America and think we deserve to be destroyed?
Well, America, it's been very, very good in this country for a very long time. Very good. And we're complacent. Complacency is the enemy of the future. It's the enemy of tomorrow. So how do you make them see? You know, we all struggle in one way or another. You have to find out who has struggled and why. What has people seen? Was it during the COVID lockdowns when people are shutting down a state and you're watching friends' dreams, their little businesses be demolished and their futures demolished and saving accounts because it was over the camp? Was it something like that? Was it H-1B visas and destroying it? So now you went through, you grew up, you did everything right. You're an engineer. You went through school. You're way in debt. Now you can't get a job. Was it maybe because there was DEI malarkey put in and, oh, I'm sorry, you just happen to be the wrong color. You're not going to get a job. What was it? What was the hardship for you? Because it was done by bureaucrats, politicians, Washington, D.C., and their wealthy crony buddies. Yeah. So when are you going to fight? Because tomorrow's going away real fast, and I want to have one.
Absolutely. And you're pointing to something that I bring up all the time, which is it seems like now the American government, the American culture at large, punishes you for doing the right thing. You do exactly what you're told to do. If you get the good grades and get the good scholarship and go out for the good jobs, you're an idiot. You're an idiot because you're going to be discriminated against constantly. Whereas the guy who just comes in, you know, under the radar and starts scamming everybody, he's going to make off like a bandit and nobody's even going to punish him for it. So how do we correct that? How do we stop punishing people for doing the right thing, rewarding people for taking the shortcut? That to me seems like the fundamental failure of America at this point is that we are rewarding the bad people and punishing the good people everywhere all the time.
Yeah, that's why I got burned up to run for governor of Ohio and looking at Vivek. You know, here's a guy, you know, people say a lot of things about him. I can't comment on specifically how he earned his money, but he's worth silly amounts of money. Last few years, all he's done is walk around and campaign, increasing his net worth. Never done anything for Ohio, never built a business here. He hasn't specifically built something. He's not relating anybody. He hasn't created any new schools. I mean, with the little means I have, heck, I'm building, I'm mentoring, I'm helping the best engineers of tomorrow. You know, how disheartening is that? It you know, the amount of power of the U.S. government from the super wealthy is insane. You know, and what community do they have? They are now, their community is the globe or wherever they want to go at any given time to increase their worth and money. For what? For what? Where are we going? You know, we all want to live. We want a community. We want a future. We want to be able to build a business and build it tomorrow. And it's just all being stolen from us right now. So you're right. The people that have done it all right, we're the ones getting robbed. You know, if you're a nice guy and you're getting pulled over for speeding, well, you're probably going to be paying for it. But somebody that's too difficult to deal with, maybe they want to get pulled over. How many times in life have you ever experienced when something happens and you're the person that's nice and polite, but you get smacked down when the person that was actually doing the wrong thing, it's too much paperwork or too much difficulty. They don't mess with it because it's too difficult. When are we going to be like the World War II generation when they came back? They had the cojones to stand up and say, no, this is wrong and we're not going to do it that way anymore. That's what we need to do. It's time to stand up and say, this is wrong objectively and call it out. Regardless of what side of the aisle it's on, because at the end of the day, we are all Americans. And in my case, we're all Ohioans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll tell you, if there's one thing that I think sets you and others like you, like James Fishback and others I mentioned, you seem to actually understand the seriousness of the situation that we're in. This isn't a matter of, oh, the stock market's doing great, so everybody's fine. It's like, no, this is an existential crisis. It's now or never. And we have to do whatever it takes because the only other option, like failure's not an option. It's just not. We don't have anywhere to go. We don't have anywhere to run. This is it. It's the last stand. We're coming to the end here. How can people support you and what's next? Are we going to see a Vivek / Casey debate anytime soon? What is next for the campaign and how can people support you, sir?
Just keep moving forward, putting out the good word, letting people know where we stand, what we stand for, building that and building that. The people are making their own decision because the contrast is crystal clear. They want an Ohioan as the governor. They want somebody who genuinely cares, who gets it, and they're seeing that. Of course, you can go to pushforohio.com. You can support the campaign. You can reach out. You can volunteer. You can endorse. Of course, donate. It matters. We are incredibly efficient with money to do a lot, but it matters for everybody to get involved. I don't get paid. I actually still work for a living, which is amazing. Okay. I have to be insanely efficient, but I mean it when I say I'm risking it all. These billionaires can lawfare anybody for any given reason whatsoever. And they can easily let money just accidentally go to other places to influence or intimidate buddies. So I foresee the worst possible things coming for me right now. And, you know, honestly, I relate a little bit more to my granddad when he told the story about sitting in that cave in Okinawa in 1945, polishing his bullets, wondering how many of them he can get before they get him. Mm-hmm. And I am here marching. And together we're going to keep doing it because I'm just us. I just represent all Ohioans. So we're doing it for all the marbles, guys. This is it.
This really is. Again, you can follow Casey Puch at Casey Puch or PuchForOhio.com. And I completely agree. I love seeing it. I mean, I really feel like this is a crucible moment for America. If the Republican Party can get out of this on top with their H-1B candidates and their, you know, controlled establishment narrative, then we really are lost. We have to send them a message and support good candidates like Casey Puch. Thank you for being here with us, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, Mr. Puch, for being here with us. Fantastic stuff.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. the receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Kind of, I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's just InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get them for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters, and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.